Joe Rogan Podcast, check it out.
The Joe Rogan Experience.
Train by day, Joe Rogan Podcast by night, all day.
Sean Strickland, what's happening? We made it happen.
I made it,
what's
bro?
Up?
I'm finally pseudo-famous enough to be on the Rogan podcast. Fucking let's go.
You're pretty famous after Saturday night. Hey, how's your eye?
Oh, man, the guy
still
was trying,
pretty red.
The guy was trying to fucking salute his Fuhrer, bro. Fucking straight to the eye.
He's Russian. You can't say that. He only moved to Germany when he was 15.
Well, fuck, I don't know, man. Fucking life's weird, dude. It's fucking, is he Muslim? We all know how that goes. Oh, fuck, I'm going to get canceled.
I'm just joking. Can't we just joke around, folks? Isn't this America? That was a great fight. It was a really good fight. Man. And it was really interesting, too, because that guy is so used to blowing people out in the first round.
Yeah.
You know, and he came out so hard in that first round. Yeah. And it was very interesting. You have a very interesting style. There's no one like you. Stand straight up. Yeah. Even the way you hold your hands is different than everybody else.
It's more like boxing. I like to box, you know. Yeah, no, it's funny. Like, when he was throwing kicks, he was kind of like giggling and laughing a couple times when he hit me in the teeth. And once or twice knocked the wind out of me in my mind. I'm like, you fucking pussy. You've ever been in a 25-minute fight before, sir? Like, we'll see how this adds up.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? It's like people need to understand that if you're sprinting in the beginning, you can't do that for very long.
Well, he broke quick. I mean, he
like 3 minutes in,
I was shocked how fast he broke. And I'll tell you when I knew he broke. After he took me down, there's a moment where he's on my back. I'm like, fuck, this kind of sucks. You know, I was thinking, like, there's a moment I'm like, oh, this kind of sucks. Well, we know what to do. Get to a hip, get your way up, break the hands. But whenever I broke his grip and he let go, it was like soft. It was like delicate. Like he broke like his like. I think I hit him. At that moment, I was like, "What the fuck, dude?"
So he's saving energy. He realized he quit.
Like it wasn't that he was saving. He broke. Like so, when you're fighting, you guys, wrestling's fucking hard. Wrestling's fucking difficult, and you have to make the juice worth the squeeze. So if you take me down and you're on my back, you got to hold that position. Loose grip for as long as you can. Maybe knee me in the back of the thigh, hit me in the head. If you could hold me there for 30 seconds and do light damage, that's 30 seconds of a round you won. And the fact that he didn't even attempt to do it, it was like, oh man, you're done. You're fucking done.
I was watching it at home and I noticed like at the 3 minute mark, you know, there's a thing that you could tell, especially when you've seen so many fights, where you see a guy in the beginning and you see like how his body moves and then you see a diminishment.
Yeah.
And I saw, like, at 3 minutes, I saw the feet were heavier, the movement was different. He still looked good, yeah. But I was like, oh, he's already feeling it 3 minutes in.
Well, you know, threw me off. He fought my buddy Saudi Sai. And, dude, Saudi Sai's a fucking savage. Like, he's a PFL champ. The fucking guy could strike. And he wrestled hard against Saudi for, like, you know, a hard 3 rounds. So I went in there thinking, oh, this guy has, like, a tank. I watched him wrestle my friend. Yeah, it was shocking, man. But, you know,
well, he's only had 2 UFC fights. Yeah. He had that one fight. Was it in France?
Yeah, against, like, Dustin.
Right.
But Dustin's a fucking can, dude. Like, he should not be in the UFC. Like, he, again, I like Dustin. He's a fucking yogi, dude. Like, he does more yoga than training. He came to Vegas. I think I broke his nose in the first minute. And, like, and then he came to Extreme. I pretty much told Chris Curtis, I'm like, Curtis, if you let Dustin walk out of this fucking round, I will respect you less as a man. You know? Like, you're not part of our fucking team. Like, if you let him have any success with you, dude, like, I will respect you less as a man.
How did Dustin get in the UFC?
So, it's kind of, I don't know who he fought, but he picked up a guy, or a guy picked him up and slammed him, broke his shoulder. So, his hype train was fighting a guy who, like, doesn't belong here.
So, the guy broke his shoulder in the slam?
Yeah. So, now it's like, oh, Dustin slammed him or something happened, and then, like, that's how he got signed. Yeah, Dustin's a fucking can. Anyway, he's a fucking defector, bro. He's an American living in Germany. You can't respect that fucking guy.
Oh, how dare he.
You're fucking
how dare
defector,
he.
Bro. I don't even know what country you represent, you motherfucker.
I do not agree with the things Mr. Strickland is saying, Dustin. No. But I do agree, like, that there's something about those guys that are used to taking guys out in the first round. There's something about those guys.
A lot of these, like, daggy Muslim dudes, they, like, they're bullies, bro. They're fucking, like, you know, that fucking Ali, that fucking cunt, the manager. I mean, I'm probably going to rub some people the wrong way, but fuck him. you know, I'm going to see him. He's probably going to go fighting after I say that. He's like, did you hear what Sean said about me? I'm like, yeah, you're a fucking cunt, dude.
I like how he did the accent.
Yeah, he's a fucking cunt. So, like, this fucking cunt, Ali, good thing, I mean, I don't give a fuck. He comes to the gym and he watches me spar Marvin Vettori, right? And then we spar Marvin Vettori. I don't give a fuck, dude. Marvin's a friend of mine. I'm trying to help him. And then fucking 3 weeks later, you pull out this fucking guy to fight me. You know, and then you start betting a prayer that he's going to beat me. Like, you fucking rat, dude. You come watch me spar, and you pull this fucking guy out of your hat, and you go bet Alex he's going to beat me. So it's like,
fucking. Isn't that standard, though?
I mean, I don't know, dude. I don't think managers should be in the gym. I think if you
interesting.
Man, yeah.
Yeah, interesting. That's yeah. But don't you think they have to kind of get a bead on how guys look and what they're doing?
Yeah, but then it's rough, dude, when you watch me spar.
And then you're handling the guy.
And then you're handling a guy, yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? Right. Like that's a rough one, dude.
Yeah, that's tricky. Well, that's why, you know, like, elite gyms have closed-door sessions.
Yeah,
you know,
as it should be. You shouldn't fucking be able to go watch guys train. And again, I always tell guys, like, my opponents, like, you want to come watch me train? Come watch me train. Hell, bring your best sparring partner and come watch me train.
Well, your style is pretty much the same in every fight. It's like a steady, forward marching, and you're just very good at energy conservation. You're just very good at knowing when to sprint.
Well, I mean, like 3 weeks prior to the fight, I have a buddy named Robin Shafar, up and coming boxer. Well, he's, you know, boxing is the most shady, shady business there is in the fucking world.
Oh, yeah. It makes UFC look like higher education.
Yeah, boxing, you guys, is corrupt. So he's about 16-0. And the guy could box, man. I've seen him put work on UFC fighters. Like, I've seen him spar, like, Bellator champions. The guy does work. So we did like a no time limit 40-minute boxing, just whoever quits.
You know? Jesus Christ.
Yeah, just because we're just bored, you
the
know.
CTE special.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude. Fuck yeah. So it's kind of funny. He was actually going through some like personal shit and he beat me. He beat me that day. But like I was hitting him. I was like, dude, you just like, there's something with you right now. And after we get done boxing for like 40, 45 minutes, he starts telling me his personal issues. I'm like, oh, fuck yeah, dude, you were ready to die today. Like, that makes sense. I feel I'm about to go for a hike with my girlfriend, bro. You're contemplating fucking life here. Yeah, you win, dude. You fucking win.
That's like when Buster Douglas fought Tyson. You know, Buster Douglas's mom died. And Buster Douglas had always been like that really talented guy with a wicked jab who just didn't apply himself like many really talented guys. And then for that camp, he just went fucking full in.
Yeah, some guys, even when they have that, like, I mean, fuck, even walking, even sometimes me when I walk out, like, I got to tell myself, like, dude, you are a fucking loser. Like you are fucking, you don't belong here. Like, just go in there and kill this motherfucker. You know, like, I always joked, I always had, like, I had a teacher tell me in, like, 7th, 8th grade, one of the few years I went to school, I think it was, like, her name was, like, Miss Wajda, I don't know, history or some shit. She looked at me, she said, Sean, You're the reason why they build prisons.
Oh, Jesus Christ. You're a little kid. Imagine that?
Nah, dude, but she fucking nail on the fucking head, dude. Like, I was a fucking shitbag, you know?
It's right,
like,
but shitbags can grow up and become actual men. It's totally possible to dismiss a kid at that early an age.
No, dude, but life is strange, man. Like they do very good at isolating shitty people. So, I mean, like, when I was in elementary school, I was homeschooled in like 3rd, 4th grade till like, you know, 7th grade. I went back to school and then they spotted me right at the back. Like, oh, this guy's a problem. He's a shitbag. Like, and so they isolate you. They put you in like a school where you start 2 hours later and you end an hour early because they got to isolate you. High school, the same shit. Went to a continuation school. So society, like, they do well at saying, hey, this kid is going to be a problem. We just got to, like, he's like cancer. We just can't let him infect other people. Let's fucking put him away. And then you go, and then you get older and you just go to jail. Same shit.
Yeah, but it's funny that those kids, a lot of those kids, they can do things. They just need a direction. They need something. And martial arts is the best thing for those kids. Every one of them. When people say, what's the best thing about bullies? Or best thing, rather, to deal with bullies? I'm like, teach them how to fight. Yeah. You teach bullies how to fight, they're not going to want to be beating people up. If you teach them how to train with real people, they're not going to be doing that.
Man, I always say, like, MMA, like, even, like, soldiers with PTSD, that's, like, you know, I mean, I have a little bit growing up, like, just not even know what the fuck. I always thought, like, it sounds fucked up, but I've always, like, when you hear like soldiers talking about PTSD, I'm like, you fucking pussies. Like, this is how I was when I was a kid.
Right.
They're like, well, you know, at 20 years old, like, you know, I can't go in public, or I can't sleep at night. I'm like, what the fuck's wrong with you, fucking pussy? Like, give me a gun. I'll fucking shoot someone in the fucking head right now. I don't give a fuck. But then I realized that, like, me, I grew up so fucked up that that was my way of life. But I couldn't imagine being a normal motherfucker, just being a normal guy trying to fuck the high school prom queen, going to parties. And all of a sudden you turn 24 and then, like, the veil's lifted and you're like, who the fuck am I? So, like, once I kind of realized that, I had a lot more respect for him. But, you know, what I was going with that is, like, training, man. If you guys have some fucked up issues, some demons, man, like, train. And a lot of people that train are fucked up. So it's like, you have this good, like, brothership, this bond.
Yes.
Yeah. It's fucking did me wonders.
Oh, man, me too. So many people I know, too. There's so many, like, lost people who are some of the most exceptional people that I know because they went through that.
I remember the first time in my life that I ever felt happiness. Like, even when I think about it, dude, it makes my eyes water. I was, like, 14 years old, you know. I was just a fucking fuck-up loser, man. And my mom brought me to an MMA gym, and I got the shit kicked out of me. Just fucking, like, got the bloody fucking nose. You know Paul Herrera?
Yep.
So Paul Herrera used to have a gym, Empire MMA.
The headhunter.
But he never trained. Like, he was never there. He was always in the business trying to fucking peddle, you know, fucking juice or something. So it would just be me and, like, probably 14 to 21 year old, we'd just be in the cage with 4 ounce gloves fighting. So the first day I went there, I mean, fucking bloody nose.
I was thinking of Paul Buentello. Paul Herrera was the guy who fought Big Daddy Goodrich.
Yeah, he was the one who fucking
elbows. Oh, yeah. Jesus, with the fireman's carry.
Yeah, so fucking the first day I trained there, man, I mean, I got the shit kicked out. I mean, I was so happy. I remember walking out like, wow, this is what it feels like to be happy. Like, I've never fucking felt this, you know?
You got it all out of your body.
Yeah, and I was like, fuck, I'm addicted. I mean, I like, even going into that, dude, I was like 14, 15. I had like crazy racist views. Like, I mean, I was like a little fucking Hitler youth, which is funny to make fun of a boost, but like, I shit you not, dude. Like, I was on a fucked up path. Even like, you know, I always like wearing white shirts and boots and jeans. I stopped wearing this. I used to wear this. This is all I wore when I was a kid. But I stopped wearing it once I started training because I thought it looked too much like a white supremacist.
Mm.
So I was like, I can't wear this shit
anymore. A white shirt?
Well, because you wear your white shirt, your boot. You ever seen American History X?
Oh, okay.
So, like, it's like the standard, you look like a white supremacist. And I loved that shit. When I was a kid, I loved that shit. That's what I wanted. Like, I wanted to look like a piece of shit white supremacist. So when I started training, and I was like, oh, dude, you were lost, dude. Like, that's not who you are. That's not what you believe. I, like, went away from it. I grew my hair out fucking super long, got the name Tarzan. I didn't dress like that. And now as an adult, I'm like comfortable with who I am. I'm not a racist. I love everybody. Now I could go back to like my roots of being just a white trash motherfucker. That's nice, man. I've really accepted who I am, you know?
Well, it's so interesting to watch people go through these changes in life, in these trials through adversity, and become like a very interesting person at the end of it.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Like, I you know, I know you say a lot of outrageous shit, and it's very funny, but you also say some very good shit. You know, like, this speech that you gave when you were talking about America, like, that speech, the post-fight press conference speech, it's a fucking great speech.
Well, you know what it is, man? I'm white trash. Like, what I mean by that is, like, I am the future of America. So, like both my parents work. You know, my dad's piece of shit, but, you know, fucking in hell probably right now, but both my parents worked. They made good money, but we were poor. We were poor because after the cigarettes, the bars, and the fast food, we were fucking poor. I mean, like, you know, we had, like, fucking, I can't tell you, you'd find a piece of paper and you wrinkled up, you use that as fucking toilet paper. You know, every time I wipe my ass with a piece of fucking paper you get laying around. But this is like, it's like this unholy alliance that corporations are doing to America. They want women working. They want lower wages, and they want more consumerism. And it's like, I don't mean it like, I'm not sexist. Like, oh, put women back in the kitchen. You know, they suck. And I love fucking women. You know, take off the burqa, wear a fucking bikini, and huzzah. but you know what I'm saying? But we're truly like in a weird time to where like corporations are eroding values of America.
Well, they act within their best interests. And their best interest is to keep people consumers and make sure that people just pay attention only to stupid shit.
you have Walmart in your phone now. You want to go? I mean, I can't even me. I'm to blame. There's some times, you guys, where I'm like, maybe I'm a little depressed. I don't know. I'm fucking just in a bad mood. I'm like, I'm gonna go on Amazon. Let's see what the fucking Amazon fairy is recommending me today. Maybe I could find something that'll give me a little serotonin boost.
Find some happiness in a one click.
Yeah, yeah. And then so it's like you have on top of that, now we go full circle. You have two parents working. And I'm going mostly on the West Coast. You have shitty fucking kids, dude. Las Vegas, graduation rates less than 50%. High school dropout, no GED. I'm not one to talk. But how do you raise a family, a successful family, when your kids are being raised by the system?
Right.
By fucking TikTok. After my fight, I had the doctor, you know, good guy, the doctor at UFC. He comes up to me. He's like, hey, why are you talking bad about Las Vegas? I'm like, well, Dr. John, or your name is, doctor, he's a cool dude. What school do your kids go to? And he just, like, gets a big, like, smirk. I'm like, yeah, I'm sure you're paying, like, 50 plus a year to educate your kids. Like, so, again, man, I mean, where's the reset button? Maybe there is no reset button.
I think the reset button is teaching people that there's things that you can do in life that can transform you. And I think, as weird as that sounds, a lot of people learn that through watching people like you evolve through fighting. Because it's the most difficult thing you do. Outside of war and being a cop and being a fireman, it's the most difficult physical pursuit that a person can get involved with for a living.
But again, we're talking on such a deeper fundamental level. If you have no belief, like, we could say America's becoming atheist. Like, we could say that. If you have no belief, if you have no moral right, no wrong,
right,
and you're not taught this from, like, a stable family, and you're being raised, I mean, like, literally America's becoming like communist China, where, like, we're letting our school system dictate values and beliefs. We're letting the system tell you what your kids are. And again, I'm agnostic, so I'm not telling everybody to go find Jesus, you know? If you're going to find somebody, at least let it be fucking Jesus, right? But, I mean, how do you fix a moral decay of a society when that's just where we're going? Mm. You got TikTok, man. Even fucking communist China will mitigate what shows on TikTok, but they give us utter fucking filth.
But it's just, I know exactly what you're saying. And, you know, I went through the public school system, but I did it in the 1980s.
That's
very
worse.
Different.
Getting worse.
Yeah, it's a lot worse now.
But, I mean, how do you, like, again, like, if you were, you know, if you were God Joe Rogan, how do you fix this?
You gotta pump a lot of money into inner cities. You gotta figure out a way to make programs. And there's places in this country that for decades and decades have been filled with crime and gang violence and drug addiction. And that's all they know. And that's the standard of their community. And that's what you grow up with. And that's what you see. And if we don't fix that, the odds of those people coming out of there, I mean, there's a few that come out of there that become, you know, whether they're artists or athletes or whatever it is, they find a way through. They figure it out. But they're the rare ones.
Okay.
They're the rare ones. What we got to do is create systems where you have opportunity for kids and also mitigate the crime and mitigate the violence and whatever the fuck has to be done. Look, if they can dump billions of dollars into Ukraine.
Fucking A.
If they could dump billions of dollars into, I mean, there's so many different things that they pump money into, but they've never pumped any money into Baltimore. Mm-hmm. They never pumped any money into Detroit. Like, sure. Try to figure out a way. Like, if you can, like, think about, like, what Halliburton did during the Iraq War. They got these no-bid contracts where Cheney was the fucking CEO of Halliburton. He becomes the vice president of the United States. And then the company he works for gets these no-bid contracts rebuild shit we blow up. Which is wild, but there's profit in that, right? 100%. So what about figuring out a way to funnel that profit into fixing inner cities?
Yeah.
If we have less losers, we have a better America.
Yeah.
And if you give people more opportunity, you have less losers.
You know, so even let's go on the smallest scale of sex. Like, how old are you, Joe?
55.
When was the first time you started watching porn? Can I ask that question?
Mind? It was VHS tapes came out when I was like, I probably was like 15 or 16.
Okay. So, I mean, we had my brother's a few years older than me, so he remembers things that I don't, but he'll like tell me them, and like, I'm like, oh shit, I forgot about that. So I was watching porn in like early elementary school, like first grade and second grade. Like, because we had like a communal porn box.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Like my dad had this like an old school water heater box and just stacked with fucking porn, right? So you kids don't know about this, but we had like the communal VCR. So like you would go to watch Aladdin, you know, and all of a sudden like Buttfuckers 29 is on the fucking TV. So I started watching porn when I was like, I don't know, I was jerking off to fucking third grade, dude, my fucking third grade teacher. But I was surrounded by that.
Right.
So already I'm at this moral decay. And it was like, and I was the odd one. I was the odd one, man. Like, I had to go fucking find the porn. I had to go fucking. Yeah. My brother always jokes that, like, when he would, like, take my dad's porn tape out of the VCR, he would always have to rewind it to where he started so no one knew he was watching porn. But then he jokes, he's like, oh, man, I always know where my dad's coming now.
You know, the spot.
When you come, you just shut the fucking thing off.
How gross.
But so, like, yeah, right? Fucking, yeah, dude, my dad was fucking, I'm surprised I'm not more fucked up. But, you know, so what I'm saying.
Is he alive now?
No, he died of cancer. It's actually fucking, I'll tell you. But it's kind of funny. So I'm an oddity. I'm jerking off. I'm a little fucking kid, you know. I'm an oddity. Like, I'm fucking violent. But now, dude, you give a little kid a cell phone and you have two parents working. Next thing you know, I mean, you fucking go on Instagram, you got titties in your face. Like, now we're like hypersexualizing kids. And I think that's also a big moral decay. Because the moment you become hypersexualized and I can't stop thinking about fucking pussy and dick, like,
right,
it starts fucking your brain up at such a young age.
So, and it's a very unusual way to give it to kids, where they have instant access to watching porn on their phone all day long.
And we have no morals. There's no reason not to be a shitty person these days. You ain't going to heaven. Just fucking go fucking fuck the chick, come in her. Like, you don't got to raise your fucking kid. So I think one of the best things we can do as society is mitigate sex. Because that is like the gateway to, like, that's why we want to make money. That's why kids want to sell drugs. That's why kids want to go fucking party. There is no fucking pussy. Like, you know, if there is no fucking pussy, no one's going to a party. Like, why do I want to go to a party and drink? I'm going to go to get fucking pussy, you know?
Right.
Yeah. I always joke. I say no one shoots up a school because they had too much fucking pussy.
That's true.
But there are some good things about it.
Oh, for sure. There's good things about it. But it is weird when it's like hypersexualizing kids. Bro. It's not good.
And then, like, you go and you see fucking kids these days, like the shit they wear, like fucking, dude, put some fucking clothes on. You fucking like 16, your fucking titties are out.
Well, they're being told that that's what gets them attention.
Yes.
You know, and they see it all the time on Instagram when a girl has like 5 million followers and every photo is a picture of her ass.
Assholes hanging out and shit, you know? Like, fuck, dude.
Oh, that's crazy.
You had Norm McDonald.
Yeah,
fan?
Loved him.
I fucking love Norm McDonald.
He's a great guy, man.
I love this skit about like being famous. He's like, what did we have to do after they went to the moon? You know, like, you had to go to the moon to be famous. Now you just show your fucking asshole. Success, dude. You fucking, there we go, man.
Yeah, it's true. Norm was a gangster.
Oh, man,
Norm
he
didn't even
man.
Tell anybody he had cancer.
Yeah, no.
Didn't tell anybody.
He was a fucking man, dude.
My friend Adam, who's a very good friend of his, he didn't even know.
Yeah.
He just fucking went off to Canada to die.
Yeah, a solid fucking guy, too, man. Like,
super solid guy.
Good. You never think he was like a solid moral human being, but like, as he got older, he started showing that, like, hey, I'm a decent human being. You're like, oh, shit.
No, he was a great guy. He was a maniac, though. He was really just randomly, for some reason, twice, I was on flights with him, sitting right next to him, totally randomly.
Oh, shit.
It was crazy. Huh. And one time we were on this flight. And we're talking, and he was telling me, I stopped smoking. I don't smoke anymore.
Yeah.
And we're talking about smoking and this and that. And I'm like, what was it about smoking? He's telling me the whole deal. The moment we land, he goes right into a fucking store and buys a pack of cigarettes. And he's lighting the cigarette up before he gets out the door. I go, I thought you quit smoking. He goes, I did, but then I started talking about it. I want to smoke. He couldn't. He was lighting it inside before he went out the door.
Hey, well, fucking man had a good life, dude.
Yeah, he had a great life.
Fucking cancer, man. My dad died of fucking cancer. Fuck.
It's horrible shit.
My dad, dude, he was so fucked up on pills that, like, he had every kind of cancer. Like, I mean, like, body, brain cancer, like, every kind of cancer. And I think the doctors were like, dude, how did you not know something was wrong? Like, at this point, you should have been like, there's something wrong with you, right?
Right.
Yeah, fucking A, dude, yeah. And then he was like, my dad was such a fucking coward, though. Like, he was the kind of guy, like, no, Norm did the right thing. He's like, I'm going to go to Canada. I'm going to die with dignity. Nah, fuck that, dude. My dad was like, give me all the drugs. I'm just going to ride this bitch out.
Well, if you're doing pills already, they tell you, you're fucked.
Another thing, do pills, man. You want to talk about, like, mm-hmm. the corruption. Like, I don't know. I'm sure your viewers have a lot of experience with dealing with people who do pills, man. It's
oh, yeah.
horrible, dude.
It's the worst. And, you know, that Sackler family, they just fucking bribed their way out of being prosecuted for that. They just gave up $6 billion so that they're immune to prosecution. It's fucking evil shit what they did. They knew that stuff was addictive. They knew that people were going to get hooked. They knew it was going to ruin lives
and
kill people.
You're in the entertainment area. I'm sure you deal with it, dude. It makes you zombies. Like pills suck the soul from you. Oh, when I was in my motorcycle accident, man, I fucking... I'm still missing my quadricep. I left part of my kneecap on the road, and like I would not take pills just because I watched it my whole life growing up. It's like, fuck that. I'm just gonna be in pain.
What's wrong with your quadricep?
So, it's torn. It's gone. So
you don't have a quad?
Yeah. No. There's a little indent right there. See how it like dips in?
Oh, whoa.
Yeah. So I got to a point where it's like, I mean, I could go get a fix. I'm gonna be out for a year. So you know, I'll deal with that.
How would they fix it?
Probably just like. You know, maybe it would be a pain in the ass. They'd probably have to, like, lengthen it. It's probably dead now. But, yeah, I think they probably could. But I'm going to be out for a year, 2 years.
How much of it does it affect your movement? Or have you compensated with the other muscles?
If I was athletic, it'd be really hard for me to fight. But I stand like a fucking tree, you know? Like I'm the easiest. Like, it's so funny. Guys will come to the gym, like D1 wrestlers, and they're like, I'm like, listen, dude, you could shoot on me. I'm the easiest motherfucker to take down. You're going to take me down, but you ain't going to hold me down. So I luckily stand like a fucking idiot. So I could, you know, it's not that bad. But if I was like an explosive wrestler, I'd be fucked. I couldn't train. I don't want to be fighting anymore. Mm. If it was my lead leg, it'd be hard too because I want to be able to absorb damage. But yeah, so like, yeah, pills, man, fucking scary.
They're terrifying.
Dude, I'll never forget my fucking dad, dude. I'm like 17, 18, and I come home and like he's laying in bed, dude. My brother's 1911. My mom bought us guns at like super early. Like, dude, I was like in fucking elementary school with a loaded gun in my room, you know?
Really?
Yeah, it's white trash, dude. So I'm like 17, I come home and my dad's sitting there, and my fucking brother's 45. You know, really cool 45, and he's like talking about killing himself, and I'm like,
oh God.
And I'm like, dude, Dad, like I'm like, dude, you should do it, man. Like, you should fucking do it.
You told him to do it?
Well, like, I'm like, dude, your wife's fucking her boss. Your wife's cheating on you. Like, you're fucking poor. Like, you're a drug addict. Like, where's your path to success from here?
You were telling him this at 14?
No, I was like 17. I was like, where is your, I mean, fuck, dude, I would have told him at 14. I probably would have, at 14, I probably would have pulled the trigger, you know? But I was like, dude, I was training now. I was right. In a better place. So I was like, where's your fucking path to success here? Like, where's your happy ending? I mean, there was at one point where I even fucking took the gun, put to his head, put his hand on the trigger, and I said, just fucking, you know. When you're a minor sociopath, too, you know, you kind of get power out of that. You kind of get a little bit of kick out of it. Like, oh, yeah, I wonder if I could make him kill himself.
Jesus Christ. So, Jesus Christ.
But fast forward.
Great, you can laugh at it now.
Oh, dude. I mean, fucking, if you can't laugh at all, you're fucked up, dude. I mean, I went through some shit growing up, man. But fast forward, man. He fucking, you know, died 10 years later of fucking cancer. And if you would have just fucking, some people you can't help, dude. There's some people that, like, I mean, I'm not an advocate for suicide, but there are some fucking motherfuckers in the world you cannot help.
Yeah.
And if you would have just did it, it would have saved himself 10 years of misery.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, nah, dude, my dad. But the worst thing about my dad, dude, is like when I was a kid, dude, he was like the monster, dude. He was like the fucking boogeyman. And I remember there was one time, dude, my brother fucking strapped, like, we're talking elementary school, strapped a knife to his leg to go stab him.
Jesus.
And then he bitched out last second. But I remember, like, him taking off the duct tape around his leg and just ripping all his hair out of his. But yeah, later in life, dude, I think the first time I hit my dad, I was like 17. I headbutted and broke his nose, and he just fell down crying. I was like so disappointed. I was like, you motherfucker, you piece of shit, dude. Like, you're the biggest fucking coward, you know? Yeah, life's crazy. I mean, how'd you, man? You had good parents growing up?
My parents split up when I was 5, but sure. I got a good stepdad.
Okay. What about your dad? You talk to your dad or you
no,
got a picture?
No, I don't talk to him at all.
Yeah. Fucking dude, men suck, man.
Some of them do.
I'm like a bull dyke, bro. I don't know why lesbians hate me, you guys. I'm with you. Fuck the men, dude. I like pussy. I hate men. Like, we're fucking.
There's good men out there, but it's hard to be a good man. So it's a long path. It's a very difficult path.
Oh, yeah, dude. And then, you know, fucking good men make fucked up kids. They make fucked up. And then you just
sometimes
you just have this, but there's not really many good men out there. I mean, I'm going West Coast, you guys.
It's hard. It's hard to be a good man. Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of work.
Well, growing up, my neighbor sucked. All the hoodlums I hung out with fucking sucked. You
right.
know?
And that's all you know. Yeah, it's like what we're talking about with inner cities. Like, it's if that's all you know, it's very difficult to see a path outside of that.
I mean, if I, you know, say I fucking had a kid when I was younger, like, I would have fucked that kid up. I would have fucked that kid up. I mean, white trash, trailer park. I mean, I wanted to beat him or put my dick in him, but, like, I would have fucked that kid up, you know?
Right.
Yeah. It's actually funny. I always tell the story. My dad's dying of cancer, and he's doing, like, his forgiveness speech. And I'm like, boy. I'm going to fuck, dude. I'll go see you. He's like, Sean, you know, I was really bad to you and your mom, but at least I never molested you.
Oh boy.
I was like, fuck yeah,
what
dude.
What a low bar.
Fuck out me, Dave.
Cheers.
Hey, you never fucked me.
Give me one of
those
oxys. I'm gonna fucking ride this out with you.
Yeah, man. Fucking
what
hey,
the
dude.
Fuck, man.
But I think also too, that's why people like me, because most people are fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
They see me and they're like, oh yeah, man, like I was fucked up. I've watched my mom get the shit kicked out of her too, you know, like I've dodged a beer bottle on Christmas morning. You know. Yeah. So I think that's why people like me, because a lot of people are fucked up,
but you've managed to go through being fucked up to becoming one of the best fighters in the world.
Yeah,
that's the hard path.
Well, man, I was obsessive, like I mean, when I was so I didn't really like, one, I was fucking angry, dude. Like, I mean, I wanted to fucking kill someone so bad when I was a kid. I'd walk around with a fucking knife just hoping I'd fucking, just like, fuck, I still want to kill somebody. It just would make me feel good, you know? I just fucking I fucking love it. But, so, you had that kind of anger growing up, and I needed fucking, so that's why I was so white supremacist.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, could you picture being like, I don't even know what this is like. And no one even interjected in my life. Me being 12 years old, walking around doing the fucking Hell Hitler salute with a fucking swastika on my arm. At no point did anybody say, like, hey, maybe we should help this fucking kid, you know?
Right.
I was in I remember, like, seventh grade, I took a permanent marker and I drew a swastika on my arm. And the teacher took me outside and, like, berated me, like, pretty much calling me a piece of shit, like, do you know what that fucking means? Like, you know, like, you're a fucking piece of shit. At no point was he like, hey, man, like, why is this fucking, like, 12-year-old kid having a swastika on his arm?
Right.
Yeah. It's fucking, the system's weird, dude. The system's fucking
weird. Life can certainly be weird if you got those circumstances.
Yeah,
but you're, like, best-case scenario from those circumstances.
Training, man. It's fucking training. I mean, dude, I was so fucking angry. Like, and that was the best thing about fighting for me is I could go in the garage every Friday night, Saturday night, and just hit the bag all night long. Well, my brother's party. My brother had these, like, so we didn't have, like, we had parents, but, like, my dad's probably trying to fuck the girls that my brother brought over for the high school parties, you know? So it's like, my dad's out there probably giving them drugs and shit. So, like, I would just be in the garage where all these fucking parties and debaucheries and fucking threesomes and foursomes were taking place. And I would just be in the garage fucking smacking the back. Bah, 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 bah. And then, like, I didn't fit in. So, like, it was really just a way for, oh, Sean's not weird. He's a fighter. Sean's not the fucking weirdo that doesn't know how to talk to people. He's a fighter.
Right. And that gave you your identity.
It gave me my identity. I mean, every night I'd be running at night.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
Where did you start? What gym?
Empire. I was started when I was about 14.
And where was that?
Corona, California. And then I had my first, like, smoker fight at, like, 14. So, I mean, I'm fucking old now, you guys. That was before amateur.
How old are you?
I'm 32. That was, like, before amateur MMA, so it's, like, pretty much what you would do is you would just show up, they'd put chairs in, they'd buy tickets, and random people would just show up and you'd fight. Yeah, so that's how I started. And I didn't want to fight. I was, like, Paul Hare was a fucking scumbag. He was just, like, you would show up and be, like, well, if you're training here, you're fighting here, go sell tickets. Me being 14, I mean, I think my first fight was against guys, like, 28 years old, like, you know, my fucking nuts barely dropped, dude. But yeah, dude, anger is a hell of a fucking thing, dude.
Yeah. And it's impossible to grow up like that and not have anger.
Fuck, dude. You know what's weird, though? And the thing is, though, it's not like, and I try to tell people, like, I'm not necessarily anger. I'm not angry. Like I would love to fucking cut somebody open, and I'm not angry. Like, it just sounds nice. Like,
you got to get that out of your system, buddy.
I think I just sparred three times today. Yeah. Buddy, like, you got to understand, man. You got to understand, bro. You got to understand, like, people are like, oh, go to therapy. Like, your brain, dude, like, the damage is done, bro. It's unfixable. Like, I mean, there is.
Don't you think that sparring and training is a form of therapy?
Why do you think I spar so much?
Yeah.
And that's why I have such a good style where I don't get hit, because I love to spar. And if I got hit, I couldn't spar.
Well, your control of distance, your distance management, because of all those rounds.
The UFC did a test where they let us wear a mouthpiece. And I think that, like, my whole training camp, I barely even got hit. And I spar, I sparred the most and took the least amount of damage than anybody in the program.
Because you spar so much.
I spar so much. But you like...
Is that the majority of your training?
Yeah, sparring. I don't really spar. I'll hit pads occasionally, but it's all live goes.
Really? All live goes? Yeah. What about strength and conditioning? You doing any of that?
Not really, no.
Really? It's just sparring?
Just sparring, man.
There's no better way to get in shape for fighting than fighting.
And it's fun, dude. It's fucking fun, man. Like, you know, I'm such a nicer, better person, you know? Like, after I go and try to fucking kill a man, I come home and my girlfriend, even she wants to pick a fight, I'm like, baby, it's okay. Don't worry about it. Like, don't trip. Like, what did I fuck up? Tell me. I'll fix it. You know, like dude, training's fucking nice, dude.
Yeah.
But yeah. I mean, dude, I think a lot of people, though, have these crazy homicidal urges, dude. I think we all want to fucking shank somebody, shiv somebody.
There's a lot of people out there that have that. Yeah, there's a lot of unresolved anger.
Bro, I used to sleep in my mom's bed a lot, right? Because I thought, I mean, we're talking about when I shouldn't have been, elementary school. Because I thought my dad was going to fucking kill my mom. So every night, dude, I would go to bed thinking like, oh shit, my mom's going to die tonight, you know? His words, not mine. So like, yeah. I mean, you got to learn to laugh at it, right? At least he didn't fuck me. I mean, I have some bad dreams, but I'm just going to say those were bad dreams, right?
Jesus Christ.
So, yeah, well, you know, repressed memories are bad dreams. It's always better to say bad dreams, right?
Yeah.
dude, I used to, sleep out by her fucking, and this is where fucked up, too. Like, I used to sleep by her door and hear him fuck all the time.
Ugh.
Because, you know, because being a little kid, dude, and listening to your mom get fucked by your dad because, you're so afraid that she's going to fucking die.
That's so crazy.
Yeah, so there's one fucking night, dude. And this is just and mind you, this is nightly, but this night stands out the most, and my mom, fucking dumb bitch. I love my mom. She's amazing. I mean, she's terrible, but she's amazing. You know, she grew up in a boxcar. How do you fix that? So her dad was a piece of shit. So one night, I'm probably third, fourth grade, and I went to go sleep in my mom's room. My dad's like, fuck that. They're having a bad fight. I'm like, fuck. So I'm laying out by the door, trying not to fucking, you know. And I'm like, fuck it. I just don't feel good about this tonight. I don't feel good about it tonight. So I crawl under the bed. And we had dog. There's no white trash, bro. You got white trash. It's got like fleas everywhere. So I'm high into the bed now. There's fleas. I think there's a fucking dildo next to me. I remember.
Jesus Christ.
I'm like, literally. So me being third grade, there's a fucking dildo next to me. There's fucking fleas jumping all over me.
Oh, man.
So my dad gets on top of my mom, and she says, he said, I'm going to fucking kill it. Maybe it's just rough sex. All I know, maybe they're going to grab the dildo afterwards. So my dad gets on top of my mom, and he starts fucking strangling her, right? And he's like, I'm going to fucking kill you tonight. So me being a little kid, I get up. I'm like, fuck. The only thing I see is the guitar. My sister's guitar. She's still mad at me about it. I grab the guitar. I just fucking smack it off his head. Grab the phone. Call the cops. Run down the hill.
Oh, my God.
My mom, that dumb bitch, bails him out of jail.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
But, you know, and this is where it's fucked up, dude. My mom, my mom grew up in a fucking boxcar in Death Valley, bro.
Yeah.
How do you fix that generation of fuck?
You do.
Exactly.
That's the way. You do by becoming you.
Oh, I don't drink. Yeah, for sure.
That's literally the only way. Someone has to come out of that. They go, there's a way out of this.
Yeah. And, well, the thing is, dude, it's I'm not like, I mean, yeah, I had a little interesting childhood, you know, a lot of repressed memories and bad dreams and shit we don't need to talk about. But man, I'm common, dude. I'm common. I'm way more than you think.
Yeah, they just don't have a voice.
Yeah. And this is you especially take the black communities, the poor communities, man. I'm fucking guys without fucking dads. Fucking rough, dude. Fucking, yeah, life's hard, dude. Life's fucking hard.
Yeah, but it really is. That's the best path. Martial arts are the best path to recover from that.
Yeah. The only issue with martial arts, though, dude, and this is what I tell people, and if you got a kid who's trained, and let's just say you're training, what I'll tell you, dude, and this is factual, and you guys should always understand this. I tell everybody that comes in the gym, I had one guy, little Billy Bob's a pancreation champion. I'm like, oh, that's cool. And I tell him this. When I was a kid, I was 14, training at a gym, and there was a guy named Zach Light. don't know, fucking old school UFC.
I remember that guy.
But he was like, you know, I'm like 14 years old. This guy's like a hero to me. I'm watching him teach cardio kickboxing. I'm watching him teach like jiu-jitsu and like he'll spar and fuck me up. I'm like, oh man, this guy's so fucking cool. He's the life that I want. And then hindsight, this man probably hates his fucking life. He's probably fucking half brain dead. And he's teaching cardio kickboxing classes for $20 a class. So it's like whenever you look at UFC fighters and you want to be this, understand most of us end up poor, broke, and regretting our life choices. Like, it's easier ways to make money, guys. I love fighting. If it was fighting, I'd probably be a fucking... I want to be a serial killer. I'd probably just be just a fuckhead in jail with a swastika on my arm.
But don't you think that, like, that path, if you gotta be 100% obsessed to become successful.
But even then, man, I mean, I see guys so often in life. It's kind of funny talking about UFC and money. I have a buddy named Ife. I'm gonna fuck his name up. Sorry, Caio, some Brazilian guy, a contenders guy, really good guy. He's trying to fight Bo Nickel. Anyway, UFC guy. He just bought his first house, having a kid. Dude, like the average house in Brazil to buy is like $200,000, like maybe even less. I mean, that's like a nice house. An average house in America is 4 or 5. So it's like, you know, you see a lot more foreigners in this sport. And you're like, why are there more foreigners in this sport? America's pussies. And like, no, because they can afford it. You go and you fight. They're signing guys at 10 and 10, like literally 10 and 10, like 10 and 10 on 4 fights, man. In 3 fights, you get cut. So they sign these Brazilians, these daggies, whatever the fuck you want to call them. They go home with their 20K and they're living life good. They're living life good. How do you live on 20K and 20K?
And pay your manager and pay your trainers and pay your gym fees and food and proper nutrition.
So again, I think that's also a big reason why we're seeing less Americans, because, you know, they're taking our jobs. Like, fuck, dude. Like, you know, it's easier to import them, man. It's easier to import fighters, and they go back home to Dagestan, Brazil, and they live on their, let's just say they make shit money. They're happy.
Well, it's also who's talented and why are they so driven and who's training them and what kind of environment are they
America's the
in?
Best. We have the best athletes in the world, man. If there was like NFL money in the UFC, again, people think that I hate on UFC. Dude, I make more money in the UFC than I should make in my entire fucking life. Like, I am a fucking company man. Like, if it wasn't for the UFC, bro, I'd fucking like be a piece of shit, probably be a fucking drug addict. But if there was NFL money in the UFC, we would dominate the UFC. There would not be one foreign fucking champion.
But do you think that a lot of those guys who play sports, like they play football or they play, you know, basketball, do you think they would want to fight? Because you have to have a very different kind of mentality to want to get into a ring or a cage with another man. It's different than playing a sport.
If it was
the pressure, the consequences.
If it was a high school thing and you could go get a D1 scholarship and you could leave the ghettos by being an MMA fighter, 100%. 100% they would do it. Fuck yeah, man.
So how do we fix that?
Like money in the UFC? I don't know. I mean, fuck, I don't know. You know more about that than me.
Well, there's money in the UFC for guys like you.
Oh, yeah.
There's money
in
the UFC, but that's also in boxing. The UFC's better than boxing when it comes to how undercard fighters get paid.
Again, and this is – I'm a company man when it comes to UFC, you guys. Like most guys, like even if they make fucking 80K a year, 90K a year, that's better than what we should have made. We're like – I'm a fucking loser. But how do you fix it, man? I don't know. I don't think it needs to be fixed.
Well, it's better now than it's been before.
UFC, let me just say, UFC has the most pay discrepancy. Like when you're talking about like top earnings to lower earnings, I think UFC probably has the most. I think
boxing is worse.
Well, boxing's worse, but I mean, we could say let's exclude boxing, but like there's way more money at the top and way less trickle down. But I don't give a fuck.
But it's so hard to get to the top. I mean, imagine just trying to explain to someone what you've done to become a top contender.
You only need to have one fuck up, one slip up, one mistake, 2 bad losses, an injury.
Yep.
But here's the thing, dude, guys. I'm not like, even though we're fucking whores, dude, we're prostitutes. And I'm not like, you know, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. we take our fucking clothes off and go fight a man. Like, come on, dude, what the fuck?
But it's not. Because,
it's like porn.
But it's also the ultimate form of entertainment for people that are watching. Mm. There's nothing more exciting.
Oh,
but,
yeah, good fight, man. Gaethje versus Chandler. That
your
one
fight from- this weekend. When you started turning it on in the second round, I was at the fucking edge of my seat. Yeah. I was he's got him.
But like, you know, Gaethje versus Chandler.
Oh my god,
that was front row in that one.
Insanity.
Ugh. Fucking lost short in their life on that one.
Yeah.
But you know, but again, I'm not one of those guys bitching, complaining about pay. I get paid good money. I shouldn't be here. I shouldn't be making what I'm fucking making in life. UFC gave me an opportunity, and you don't know how many UFC is a common man sport right now. Fucking, you know, fucking Jamie, if he wanted to, he could train. Probably not going to happen, but he could be in the UFC if he wanted to. Anybody could do it. You let me restart my life and tell me to go be in the NFL, probably not going to happen. Go be in the NBA, 100% not going to happen. UFC is a common man sport. Any person on this planet could wake up one day and be like, I want to be a UFC champion, and they could make it, get it done.
Mm.
Yeah. I mean, not that easy, but you know.
Right. I know what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah, man. UFC's fucking great, dude. It's the best sport in the world, and anybody could do it.
So. Well, it's not for everybody. That's for sure. And for a guy to get as far as you've gotten, it's the rarest of the rare. I mean, you think about how many people are training, how many people have aspirations, and then filter them all out to how many people get to headline, you know, a main event.
Ideally, though, if I could talk to a kid and they were to tell me they want to be UFC, if I tell them don't do it, don't.
Yeah, I would say that too.
It's so much. It's America. It's so easy to make.
Unless you're fucking completely fully obsessed. Mm-hmm. I mean, unless that's what you want to do, that's the thing you think about all day long. Because if you don't, there's someone out there that does.
And there's a lot of UFC fighters guys that suck. Like, there's a lot of motherfuckers that suck. Like, I mean, I get so extreme is like open doors. Anybody could come. Guys are in camp. There's some guys that are badass, but there's some UFC fighters. I'm like, dude, you fucking suck. How the fuck did you get here? Like, how the fuck did? What short notice fight did you get? Like, you are a sacrificial lamb.
Well, there's definitely a few of those.
Oh, there's a lot of those in the UFC, a lot of those.
That's a weird one, the short notice fight against the top contender. Like, you see some of those every now and then, you're like, Jesus.
Generally, that's how you get in the UFC, though. You generally get in the UFC by, I mean, I think I took a two-week notice, a week notice on my first UFC fight. And that's why if you're not in the UFC, you got to stay ready. You got to be able to make weight, you got to stay fucking ready. But, yeah, man, greatest fucking sport in the world, dude. Fucking love UFC. Hopefully I can fight Izzy. China's little slut.
what is the status of, like, who is it? So right now Whitaker is fighting this weekend against Dreykus Duplessis.
Yeah, yeah.
And that will determine.
But I mean, fucking dude, how many times, like, this would be their third, fourth fight with Whitaker and Izzy?
Yeah, but the last one was so close. That's why it's interesting to people.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You know, we'll see what happens with Duplessis.
But I think they want to fight on the Australian card. So we're in the works. I think Izzy wants it. I think the management wants it, you know, so we're in the works. And fucking Izzy, man, I can't stand that fucking guy. I love that guy.
How come you can't stand him?
Well, you got to interview this guy, so you got to be nice. Did you see that?
I love him.
Did you see that thing when he was like, this is the color, you look at the color of my skin, you think I'm from Africa. Have you seen that?
No.
Oh my God, you got to see it, dude. We got to see
it.
But
he is from Africa.
Well, no, there's more.
Oh.
I am not African. I am Chinese.
What? Yeah.
You've never seen that? Oh, man. No. You gotta watch. Guys, if you guys watch this, can you, on your time, pull up Izzy Cringe? He says, and I quote, you look at the color of my skin, you think I'm from Africa, but I am Chinese. Like, dude, that level of fucking I played it because I do a little podcast, The Man Dance, with my buddy Chris Curtis. You know, I like to have a black guy on my podcast. Makes you look a little bit more wholesome. And Kurt never seen it, too. And I'm like, Kurt, you know, as a black man, let's
Did he say this when he was fighting in China?
But, like, that level, like, I always call him China's little slut.
Oh, jeez.
Because, like, dude, I mean, could you picture? Like, here's the thing, you guys. We have all done things. We have all been a whore to somebody. We have all been friends with somebody we shouldn't have been friends with. We've all been buddies because maybe he could plug me into this. Maybe he could give me a dollar. But like that level of fucking being a slut, dude. Like, my God, how do you? And then later on in life, they called him out for it. They called him out for it. He was like, because they're fucking paying me. That's why. And like, dude, then it makes you even a bigger whore. Now you're like, now you're getting defensive. Like, oh, yeah, no, I can't stand fucking. And then he's like the video of him jerking his dog off. You see that?
What?
Yeah, you gotta not watch it, bro.
I don't sit around watching people jerk their dogs
you're gonna,
off.
Dude,
ever.
You're gonna.
If there's a video of you jerking your dog off. I wouldn't watch
it. Dude, there's a video of him like fucking jerking his dog off. I'm fucking sure Jamie's seen it, man. That's his.
Jamie
job.
Has not seen it. I can guarantee you. No. He would have told me about it.
I'm looking for this quote. When I typed it in, it's bringing up stuff because he fought in China. He was saying something. About
yeah,
that.
You just type yeah. it. It comes up as a short, a YouTube short, like Izzy's cringe moment. And there's also a video of him jerking off his dog. And, like, dude, the guy is a fucking... Oh, man. And the fucking nail polish. And, God, Izzy just fucking sucks, you guys. We need to bring back the old... Anderson Silva, dude, come back. Come back, Anderson.
But you gotta admit, the dude is talented.
Oh, the dude could fucking fight, man. Here, people always say, like, why you talk shit on Izzy? Like, I never say the guy can't fight. I'm not sitting here saying Izzy's not a champion. I'm not sitting here saying Izzy might not be one of the best kickboxers in the world. I'm saying that Izzy is China's slut. If he was in prison, he would turn you out. He would turn you in. Like, he would sell you out. Like there is not – the character of Izzy is so low. And this is coming from me, you guys. I just told you how fucking – you know, at least unless my mom and dad have sex, well, I thought she was going to die. So this is coming from, like, I'm an expert on, like, shitty people, right? And Izzy, man – China's. And then the thing with the Dreykus. Remember when he got all mad at Dreykus because Dreykus talked about being African?
Yeah.
Like, motherfucker, you aren't African. You are Chinese. You're worse. Quote for quote. Dreykus has lived in Africa his entire fucking life. He never woke up one day and says, you know what? China's giving me money. I'm Chinese now. You know, it's just fucking. If I ever fight Izzy, you guys. I'm going to go get a little Chinese flag that says slut on it.
Oh, boy.
And I'll bring it to the weigh-in for you guys, and I'll hand him his little Chinese flag that says slut just for Izzy.
Do you think this is is this talking shit about him like this? Could this possibly fuck it up?
No, I mean, I don't fucking know. I mean, why wouldn't you want to hit the guy that, you know, says that you're a fucking, you jerk your dog off?
I don't know.
First of all, I didn't say he jerked his dog off. He jerked his dog off. I'm just reiterating what I've, the video.
Okay.
Yeah. Man, you got to see this, bro. I'm going
to
send you.
I don't have to see it.
Oh, it's great.
Don't ever want to see a dog get jerked off.
I got a picture. So, Izzy, tell me about your win as you take a couple of setbacks, and you're going to be thinking about him jerking his dog off the whole fucking time.
That's why I don't want to see it.
But, yeah, no, guy's a great fighter. Fucking hands down, great fighter.
Elite. That win over Pajeda, that was fucking crazy.
But, you know, man, he's also genetically so advantaged. Like, if Izzy was a normal size motherfucker, I'd walk through him. The only reason why it'd be a tough fight is because he's fucking, what, 6'4", 6'3", 80-plus inch reach? Well, nothing wrong with that, dude.
But also, super fucking talented. It's still, like, you could beat – there's a lot of tall guys that just
– not at middleweight. There's not many guys with his stature.
How tall was Magomedov?
Not even close. Magomedov had, like, a 76, 77-inch reach, 78-inch reach. I mean, we're talking about, like, NBA level 6'3". Like, getting past 5-6 inches of reach is a hard fucking thing to do.
Yeah.
Hard fucking thing to do.
Well, I was always, what is this, culture and protocol?
You got to do that. You got to. It's a short, bro. Go back.
I
promise.
Well, this one isn't short. This is a little longer, but.
But it's on, like, the main. If you just click on.
Ni hao. I am the Black Dragon. I was born in Nigeria. I grew up in New Zealand, but I have lived in China, so I've embraced the Chinese.
No, bro, this is.
Feel it is destiny. My teacher, Sifu Lin Zhenchuan, came from China, and he has been teaching Chinese Kung Fu in New Zealand for almost 50 years.
Nah,
I've
known
Sifu
this...
Lin since I was a teenager.
You're giving this man too much. Izzy, I am Chinese. What are you thinking?
Put it in the microphone so we can hear it.
Come on, please, look at my heart. How many of you take a look at me? What are you thinking? I'm a black man? Africa? Come on, please, look at my heart. Haven't you seen it yet? Wait a second.
Pulls the flag out.
Yes, I'm a Chinese. I have a Chinese heart.
He has a Chinese heart.
I am Chinese. I have a Chinese heart. But what I'm saying, dude, that level, like, China's a little slut, you guys. That fight needs to happen, you guys. And I'll do you one. I'll do you guys a favor. I'll bring a little Chinese flag and write slut on it just so he could wave it like he did when he was getting money from him.
Oh, boy.
Like, even me, I always joke about, like, well, dude, fuck China. Like, fuck China. Dude. Oh, God, I'm going to get kicked out of the UFC now. Is that my phone going off?
I think so. You're playing new videos.
Oh, shit. Oh shit!
That's what you get for using an Android.
Yeah, fuck.
Those
man,
fucking
freedom.
Things just go off.
But yeah, no man, fucking China, dude. Like, how do you even like after that fucking like fucking? How do you even?
Well, this was a long time ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, I guess this was before like they were fucking.
Yeah, you know, we weren't locking
Muslims up.
We didn't have this thought about China. Like, I didn't even think about China 10 years ago.
Yeah,
China was just like, oh, they make
China's
stuff over
the
there.
Fucking enemy, dude.
Well, it's funny. It's a sketchy part of the world because they have an authoritarian government that controls all their corporations.
Yeah, fuck,
and that's
yeah.
what America wants.
They want
they want that social credit score yeah. system. They want the centralized digital currencies so they can control what you buy.
It's actually kind of funny, dude. Like I talk so much shit on Muslims, guys. I can't help it. Like I just talk shit on everybody. Like I talk shit on Jews. I talk shit on Christians. But at no point is a Jew coming up to me. At no point, dude. I talk shit on Jews all the time. At no point am I like opening up my inbox and I'm seeing like a Palestine flag talking about fucking cutting my head off. Muslims all the fucking time. All the fucking time, dude. Every time I fight a Muslim, dude, it's like you guys should see my inbox, man. It's fucking spooky, dude.
Do you read that stuff?
I'll skim through it every blue moon just to laugh, you know. I mean, I carry a gun on me. I want to kill a motherfucker. Just you know, make my day, motherfuckers.
Jesus Christ, John. I mean, UFC is going to have the hardest time taking clips out of this one. You know, because sometimes they take clips out of, like, fighters' interviews and they make promos. This one, good fucking luck,
yeah,
kids.
Yeah, fuck,
all man. Those guys working for the UFC, I salute you. You got
to
fucking
bro, they had to cut my task. They cut my last press conference. They, like, edited it out. I started talking about that girl that, like, say my name. I remember your name.
And what are you talking about?
And then the girl that died, dude, and, like, everybody fucking posted a fucking picture of her. Like, no, Dana. God, dude, this is your. Aren't you, like, a fucking guy? This is your guy.
You're right. I'm just trying to remember what you said.
So she died, amateur girl, really shitty amateur fighter. She died. The letter got put to Dana, and Dana posted her and says, I know your name. Because in the journal diary, the thing says, I know your name.
Who is this girl? Jamie. Do you wear this, Jamie? Oh, this
no,
is
no, that's
girl.
Not that's not her. That's not her, dude. Dana White posted about it.
Oh, okay.
But anyways, so it was a big fucking thing, and I kind of like went hard on the Instagram, and I got a lot of shit for it. So, someone, yeah.
How did she die?
I think car accident.
Oh.
But again, someone brought it up in the press conference, and I just, you know me, like, I'm like a pseudo comedian. I'm not quite funny, but I'm there. I'm like, I'm almost there.
Yeah.
So every time I make a really good point, I gotta fucking ruin it. You know, it's like, I gotta fucking ruin it. But again, I don't want to be a fucking politician. I don't want to be a philosopher. I'm a fucking comedian that hits people.
I get it. Yeah.
So like, you know. What Dana White did was fucking great, dude. Like, I think that's awesome, man. He fucking, you know, someone showed him the journal and he's like, you know, fucking, I'm Dana White. I know your name. I, you know, blah, blah, blah. But then you had these fucking bandwagon motherfuckers, dude. You had like Joaquin Buckley, just the cringe lord he is. Joaquin Buckley, dude. That guy's Instagram is fucking rough, dude. I like Joaquin Buckley. I actually will hang out with him on Saturday.
I like him a lot.
I'm going to hang out with him on Saturday. But man, every time I see his Instagram, it makes me want to fucking fight him. He's just a cringy motherfucker, dude. Go look at Joaquin Buckley. You'll know what I'm talking about. So, you know, that little fucking attention whore he is, little Buckley. Cool little kick.
Jesus Christ, Sean.
And the same thing with fucking Stephen Bonner, bro. You got these fucking sluts, bro. You got these sluts that just, like, they want to be, like, different than... So he posted a picture of her, and I'm like, oh, God damn it, dude. Don't do it, Sean. Don't bring this up. Don't bring this shit up.
And you did.
And then I brought it up. And I was like, guys, at the end of the day, dude, she's a hot, young white woman. That's the only fucking reason why. And she's fucking trending. No one gives a fuck about her. Dana White, again, on applaud to Dana White. That was a message directly to you. But all you other fighters hitting the repost button, this and that, you guys are just fucking fags. You literally guys are just doing it for attention. And what I said...
There's a lot of that. There's a lot of things that people do with a virtue signal.
There was a Brazilian fighter. And mind you guys, I'm a piece of shit. I mean, I'm just telling you how, like, I try to fucking kill my dad. I'm like, my brain doesn't work right. But this Brazilian fighter died not too long ago. Got hit by a bus. Ex-UFC fighter. And my first thought, when someone told me, I was like, oh, fuck, man, he can't dodge a bus, can't dodge a punch, right? That's why he's not in the UFC anymore. Mind you guys, I've been hit by a truck. I almost fucking died once. So, you know... It's like I have a black best friend here. Like, I've been there, you guys. It was almost fucking happened to me. But that was my first response, was like, But why is this man not trending? This man probably left a family. He probably, you know, he left a life. He's not trending because he's a dirty fucking Brazilian. And no one gives a fuck about him. If you were a hot young white woman, you motherfucker would be trending. You would be on ESPN. Mm. Our beloved ex-UFC fighter died. And it's just like, man, we just live in this fake world. It's so fake.
But that is a problem with social media, is that people have this opportunity to try to portray a version of themselves that might not be honest.
Oh, it's so fake. Or like when Stefan Bonner died.
Yeah.
That motherfucker was gone, dude. I mean, I had a talk with Forrest, and Forrest kind of reprimanded me about it. Because, you know, as rightly so, you guys, I'm an asshole. I say things that are way off the cuss. There might be like an ounce of truth to it, but 90% of it's bullshit.
Right.
So Stefan Bonner added me on Instagram. I'm like, oh shit, Stefan Bonner. I'm a fucking fanboy. I'm going to fucking add him back. And then he would like post shit, send me messages, and I block him right out of the back. I'm like, you're fucking nuts, dude. You're a fucking pill addict. I want nothing to fucking do with you.
Right. What was he sending you messages about?
Just crazy. He's a libertarian, dude, but like a lot of it just like, you know, like just fucking nuts, bro. Like his gym closed down during COVID, nuts. But, and this is another thing I got shit on. And I was the only one that's like, fuck Stefan Bonner, man. That guy was fucking nuts. He was a fucking drug addict. Like, I don't give a fuck about him. Like, I didn't go and fucking force the oxys down his throat. I didn't fucking make him OD. So everybody got me shit on that, and they all posted about it. And I'm like, listen, I didn't like the guy, and I blocked him. But where were you guys when his life was falling apart? Where were you guys when he was publicly saying, my gym is failing, I can't keep the doors open. They're locking me out. Where the fuck were you guys? You guys weren't fucking anywhere. You don't give a fuck about him. You never gave a fuck about him.
And then when he dies, this is an opportunity to miss him.
And I'm not going to say names or anything, but I can't remember who it was, but I've had conversations with people who they didn't joke about it, but it was like, yeah, that guy was fucking nuts. And yet they're posting something. It's just fake, dude. Like, just, if you're going to joke about his crazy ass dying and like him being a pill addict, then you go and post about like, oh yeah, Stefan Bonner, he was a great guy. Like, no, motherfucker, he was a fucking pill addict. You all knew, we all fucking knew there were so many people involved in his life that could have stepped in. And I don't think you should have. I've dealt with pill addicts my whole life. I think you should throw in some oxys and be like, huzzah, man, enjoy.
I ran into him when he was sober. I ran into him and he had cleaned himself up. I was
when was this?
Salt Lake City about a year and a half ago.
Oh, shit.
He went through a stretch that he was clean. And I was doing a show out there, and he came to the show, and he came and he brought this stem cell doctor who runs this Utah stem cell clinic, and he was clear-eyed, and we had a fun talk. It was cool.
Well, that's what Forrest said, too. That's what Forrest said, too. And I told Forrest, I'm like, Forrest, I'm just telling you, dude, I was watching my dad snort oxys off the kitchen table when I was in elementary school. Like, I know drug addicts. The guy's a fucking drug addict. And I was like, and I'm not saying Forrest is a stand-up guy. I think Forrest did reach his hand out multiple times to help him. Yeah. But, you know, people aren't involved, dude. Like, imagine, like, your closest friend, like, if they were, like, addicted to drugs. You'd be involved. Like, Chris Curtis, man. Chris Curtis has a little white baby on the way. You know, a little mixed breed. Chris Curtis, I'm proud of you, man. You fucking making that money. Got your white wife. I'm happy for you. We have a podcast together. It's nice. But if right now, like, if Kurt was addicted to Oxy...
You would help him.
I'd fucking help him without a doubt.
Yeah.
I would help him.
But maybe he just didn't have someone like that in his life. And also, sometimes those guys, they burn so many bridges that by the time the shit goes sideways, they don't have anybody that's going to stick their neck out.
That's why
them.
We talk about in segue to homeless people. People are like, oh, man, like, I won't give a dime to a fucking homeless person. Dude, you'll fucking be homeless. Go drink the sewer water. Like, because you got to think about me, piece of shit. But there was always someone in my life that was like, hey, you can sleep on my couch for a weekend. You can sleep on my couch for a week. Come train here. Sleep on my couch. Like, if you're such a big piece of shit to where, like, there's not one person, you can't call one person and be like, hey.
Yeah, but it's like you're saying that because you knew people from training, people that knew you, and you could sleep on their couch. There's some people that never have that.
No,
they never find a thing. They never have anybody in their life that's any good. There's circumstances involved. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
But there are circumstances involved with some people where they just never get a break.
Yeah.
Like, as few breaks. Look, I got better breaks than you did, but you got better breaks than some homeless guy did.
So, okay, to that point, my family home, my mom lives in Fallbrook, California. It's a migrant community. There's this guy named Juan. Fucking Juan, man. He motherfucker. I don't even think the guy can't even read or write. He's a migrant worker. He raised a family.
Right.
Works his fucking ass off. Like, what I'm saying is, you have this Mexican guy that comes across the border legally, no license, no anything, can't read or write, and this motherfucker is raising a family, a successful family. You know, even if so, I think only has one kid is an American citizen, but raising a successful family. So it's so hard for me, man. It's America, dude.
I know what you're saying.
It's hard, bro.
I know what you're saying, but you got to recognize that some people have way worse circumstances, even than me.
Fuck yeah, dude. I mean, I didn't like, yeah, fuck you. I know girls have been fucked by their dad their whole life. Oof. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and some of my friends, bro, at Disneyland, I met a guy in South Africa who had to fucking kill his mom. Like crazy. I'm fucking Disneyland. That's why I could laugh and joke at it. Right. I think about this guy every time I feel like a bitch, you guys. Every time I feel like a fucking pussy, I look in the mirror and I think about my buddy in Africa who had to smoke his mom.
Why do you have to smoke his mom?
So again, what they do is they'll come into your village or wherever the fuck you're from, and they want to brainwash you. And what's the best way of doing that? And then by like having you do something so fucked up. Like, you know, and then if they could get you to do that, then you're pliable. Then they could give you drugs and they could like make you into a rebel.
And so they talked him into killing his own mom.
I don't think it's like that. I think the mom is like, kind of like, if you don't do it, they're going to fucking kill you too. Like, the mom is probably like encouraging him to fucking.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
So what I'm saying, you guys, I tell myself that story once a week at least. And I'm like, dude, don't be a pussy.
Wow.
But, you know, sometimes, like, it was kind of interesting. I was telling your security team. By the way, Joe has a pretty solid-ass security team. You guys don't want to come fuck with this guy. All, like, Navy SEALs, Special Forces and shit. It's a little overkill fucking Joe.
Not really.
Fucking more than Biden over here.
No, it's not more than Biden and not overkill. I can tell you some stories.
Oh, yeah. No, I would imagine, dude. Yeah. I would imagine. But, you know, man, every now and then, again, this has nothing to do with that guy. He was a saint. But you got to do some bad shit, though. Like, I was telling your security team, because, you know, I'm sure they've all done some bad shit. Like, my buddy Chris Curtis, so irrelevant, but it's a funny story. This construction worker comes to the gym. And it's on YouTube. It's on Instagram. He comes to the gym, and then Kurt's like, spar him. I'm like, Kurt, you should let me spar him. You should let me do the work. And Kurt's like, no, I want to do it. So Kurt's being so nice, pulling head kicks and like just hits him with a body shot and he falls and he stops. I'm like, Kurt, you're such a fucking bitch, dude. You're such a fucking pussy. So afterwards, he's like, Sean, like, he has a family. Like, he has a family. Like, I'm not going to take this man out of work. Like, he doesn't know. So afterwards, the guy says something to Kurt, like, oh, man, if I was more in shape, I could have did better with you or something. And then Kurt goes straight angry black guy. Kurt's like the whitest man you ever know. But the moment he gets angry, bro, it's like full fucking Ebonics, angry fucking black man. And I'm like, Kurt, you had your chance. Like, you got to stop, dude. He's like trying to fight him now in the park, in the gym. Like, dude, you had your chance. Like,
so the guy was saying to
him.
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden, Kurt just goes like straight angry black guy. And he's like, fuck that hole. And we're all holding Kurt back. And I'm like, Kurt, you had your chance. And sometimes you just got to be comfortable doing fucked up shit. Like, there's probably nothing I could do where I would like lose sleep at night.
Nothing. Sociopath.
No, I mean, maybe like killing a family member or something, or like, yeah, there's probably nothing. I kind of want to find out. Like, I kind of be curious. Like, there's a part of me that like I would never want to do it, but like, is there something I can do that would like make me say, oh man, I don't like myself?
Well, you're lucky you're in the right business.
But you know what I'm saying? If Kurt, yeah, what I told Kurt, like if it was me, I would have fucking starched that guy as he's falling. I would have dropped a fucking people's elbow on his ass. But like, man, like you gotta push this. Like, you gotta fuck a fat chick every now and then, you know?
You're so lucky you found fighting. It's so hilarious.
But you know what I'm
saying?
You're
going to look back on this conversation someday and go, God damn, when I was 34, I was out of my fucking mind.
No, dude, I think I'm going to be this way. But like,
you
but
think so?
Have you ever done something really bad, like really bad, really fucked up?
Not really.
Nothing? Really?
No, nothing like that.
Nothing? Oh, man.
Nothing I've where I lose
way
sleep
worse shit
it.
Than that. Yeah.
No.
But I've had
a much luckier
I've
life.
Done things where I should have lost. That's the problem. But there is this moment where I'm like, man, I really like, I'm kind of curious. Like, I wish, like, I could just do something super, super heinous. Just to
see how you react to it.
Just to see if I feel bad.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that.
You know,
be fucked up if this conversation comes out after you've done something really bad.
No, I live in the straight and narrow. Maybe some shit in the past, but yeah, I live in the straight and narrow now.
That's what I'm saying. So like, embrace that. Yeah. Don't be thinking about this,
bro. I live.
Don't even entertain. Dude, those
I
live. Thoughts.
Know what I fucking did after my fight? I didn't go chase pussy. I went. Fucking had in and out with my girlfriend and watch a fucking baking championship after my last fight.
A what championship?
A baking championship.
Really?
I watch a fucking baking fucking cook-off with my girlfriend, guys.
That's perfect.
I'm fucking boring. I don't do shit, you guys.
Well, fuck. That's whatever. You know, you probably have no energy after training.
No, I'm fucking right as Ryan, dude. Are you kidding me? No, I like boredom is my Achilles heel, dude. Like, and that's why I isolate I get this voice in my head, dude. And you see my press conferences. I get this voice in my head. And I think it's like, I think the clinical term, it's like antisocial personality, conduct disorder. So when you're a kid, you have conduct disorder. Then it spirals in like antisocial personality disorder. Mm-hmm. And it's like it's borderline sociopathic. But one of the big traits is self-control. I have fucking no self-control, dude.
Well, that's also a factor of getting hit in the head a lot.
But it was like that when I was a kid. I get this voice in my head, and it tells me to fucking do something. And then I like it just sits there, and I'm like, I'm doing it. I'm fucking doing it. I'm still in this car. I'm doing it. Yeah,
growing up with no guidance.
Yeah. You know,
growing up with fucked up family. Growing up with fucked up circumstances.
So, I isolate myself. Like, I'm mad. People are like, oh, yeah, Sean, like, you want to go hang out, go watch it? No, fuck no, I don't. I want to sit at home, fucking maybe play a video game, get good food. Like,
that's good, though. That's good that you recognize that. Yeah. That you don't want to put yourself in situations
like, I can't say no, dude. I can't say fucking no to anything.
Yeah. But your life is going so well right now, too. It would be a fucking horrible shame if you fucked it up.
Yeah, fuck, because
you gave in to the demons.
Yeah, demons. Well, dude, me and my demons are fucking buddies, dude. I always say, like, and this is, I'm not religious, obviously, but if God and the devil were real, the only person who's ever been there for me has been the devil. 100%. I'm my back 24/7. I'm again 24/7. But it's true. But it's
you're going to get a bunch of DMs from Satanists now.
But it's true. Like, but you got to think about it. Like evil deeds have been my friend. Like when I was, again, when I was a kid and I had to do fucked up shit, hit my dad with a guitar, like, I had to, like, you know, become a sociopath. I had to, like, turn shut torn doors, man. The devil, man, 24/7 had my back. 24/7 made me have, like, moral fluidity. Like, I could do bad things now and not feel fucking terrible about it.
Yeah. Are you happy with that, though? Do you like that? Or do you wish you were a better person?
Dude, you know what it is, dude? Again, I'm not a bad person. I for the most part, right. Like, I hold doors for old ladies. Like, I do. I'm a pretty decent human being. It's just evolution, bro. It's like evolution of being a sociopath. It's like, it's a purpose. When you go, like, and this is where, it was hard for me to understand. And you don't even know this until you get older, but, like, I evolved my brain. My brain thought the world was different. And then all of a sudden you become an adult and you're like, the way my brain formed and grew up isn't the way the world is. Like, my brain trained me that the world's brutal, it's harsh, you're a victim, you have to be a predator, you have to be a bully, you have to hurt people, you have to crave power, you have to want sex. And then you turn to an adult and you're like, oh man, that's not how life is.
Don't you think that you continue to evolve? If you evolve past don't you think you continue to evolve?
Once your base brain, like, you could slowly change, like, you could brainwash yourself to think, fucking, I'm a chicken if I slowly go through the process of brainwashing myself. But once your brain, once those foundations are set, dude, it's hard to unset them.
Have you ever done psychedelics?
No.
Drugs, nothing?
Drugs scare me, dude.
Drugs do.
Yeah. I mean, I like, I'm addicted. Like, I would, like, fucking look at me, dude.
Uh-huh. Like, coffees, black rifles.
Yeah, man. I like what you said about the he was telling me about the Rittenhouse thing, man. Thanks for clearing that up. Because I used to not drink this shit.
Well, yeah, they got a real bad fucking rap because a lot of right-wing people did the dumb shit that left-wing people
did. So I'm not
turned on them for no reason. They were wrong, and They weren't, like, turning their back on Rittenhouse. They just factually said they don't, because everyone was saying they sponsored Kyle Rittenhouse and gave him a t-shirt to wear when he got out of jail.
So, that being said, dude, don't fucking trust the media, right? Even me, I was like, fuck Black Rifle. I even said that. I was like, fuck, I'm not.
Those guys are the salt of the earth.
I had a hat from them. They gave me a bunch of free shit once. And, like, now I could go back to wearing their fucking hat.
Yeah, wear their hat. They're good dudes. I know them very well.
Yeah,
Evan Hafer, I hunt with him every year. We we go elk hunting.
Yeah, together. So fucking from the, hey, from the horse's mouth itself, you guys, they didn't fucking, you know, just miscommunication. Yeah.
No, they're about as right-wing and pro-America as you get.
Yeah, Kyle Rittenhouse is a fucking dork, though, right? Fucking A, dude.
I was a kid. Bro, that was on point, kid. Though,
dude. Did you watch that video?
Yeah.
You want to talk about a man who fucking sits there in his underwear all day and practices reloads.
Right.
Bro, he even hit the slide. I don't know what it's called, but like, mm-hmm. I didn't even, you know, the little butt on the AR-15 mm-hmm. that no one even knows why it's there? Bro, the motherfucker even hit that once he put the mat, or once he, fucking nuts, dude.
Oh, he knows how to use her gun. I mean, he was being hired to go in to protect one of the businesses. They were worried about being burnt down.
Oh, he was hired to do that?
Yeah.
Man, this fucking
It was his friends. Oh, yeah, shit.
I thought he was just like a white kid that wanted to go be a hero.
No. Yeah. It was an Indian family that owned, I think it was a car dealership, and they were worried about their car dealership getting burnt down, so they asked him to come and help.
No shit.
So when they say, oh, he drove across state lines, yeah, he drove 15 minutes away. It was 15 minutes away. He drove to help his friends.
Yeah.
And he went there because they were worried about their businesses being looted. You know, obviously, who the fuck is sending a 17-year-old with an AR to go and guard a business? It sounds insane.
Can I ask you something? I'm curious your opinion. Yeah. You watch that guy on the subway fucking choke that dude out?
Yeah, I need to see the whole video. I need to see like how long he held that choke. Yeah. Because if the guy died, I mean, like, you can't hold a choke for a minute.
So me, I'm the same way, dude. I'm generally like on the Republican leaning side where I'm like, yeah, like, you know. I thought the cop that killed George Floyd was guilty. I think George Floyd was probably a royal fucking piece of shit. I don't think we should put statues.
Alley is planned for.
What happened?
I don't think we should put statues in his honor, but in your custody, in your care, and the fact that man's like, hey, I'm fucking dying, and you're just like,
right,
my wife's fucking the neighbor. I don't care. I'm gonna hold this choke till I feel better.
Right.
So yeah. I think that guy was guilty. But yeah, that guy in the subway, dude, 100%. You can't like.
Yeah, but the guy was threatening people, and the guy had a long history of assaults and crime.
But, I mean, dude, you do jiu-jitsu. Like, how long do you hold a choke to kill
him? Well, I do jiu-jitsu, though. I wouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
I would have just, once I got the guy's back, I would have just held on to it and just not squoze his fucking neck.
I hope he gets off. I hope he gets, again, the guy was.
But like, I don't know what happened.
So the guy was just.
Did the guy die from asphyxiation, or did the guy have a heart attack because he was on drugs? Because this was the thing that they said about George Floyd, is that he was going to die of a fentanyl overdose anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true, but I don't know what the case is with this guy, but I do know that there was another guy who was holding him down that was a black guy that they conveniently left out of all these outrage articles
when they
tried to make it a white-on-black thing.
Yeah, dude, I'd be curious. I'd be curious. If I will say one thing. If it wasn't fentanyl he died of, they're 100% guilty.
Mm.
Like you can't hold a choke for 15 minutes.
No, you can't hold a choke, but it's also like some people don't know that. They don't know, all look, anybody can teach you how to do that. That's not hard to do.
Yeah, no.
It's not like doing a wheel kick.
Yeah.
It's like a very easy movement for your body to do.
Yeah.
Every fucking kid when I was a boy, when we would watch pro wrestling, they knew a sleeper hold. Yeah. Everybody knew it. You know, so it's like if he doesn't know any better and he doesn't know that you can't hold on to a choke because he's not trained. I know he was a Marine, but
they
don't teach you shit. So who the fuck knows how much this guy actually knew? When I'm looking at with the way he was squeezing the neck, it didn't look like he knew what he was doing.
Yeah, I know. You know what's fucked up, though, dude? None of this cool shit ever happens to me, you guys.
I
walk around the earth all day long, like, you're just waiting for it, and I'm like, fucking...
I think people would recognize there's something off about this guy. Maybe I'm going to go to the next car.
Bro, I actually almost killed a guy once.
What happened?
Gun to the head. Gun to the head. Thank God I didn't pull the trigger. I was at a fucking party, dude, and, you know, me being an asshole. My buddy goes to grab me, and I fucking hip toss him, and he puts a hole in the wall. So I'm 19. I think I was going through a pretty bad court case at the time. So I was already like facing two felonies on a parole, or I was on bail. Sorry. And fucking the girlfriend comes downstairs, said you got to leave, and I'm like, you know, all right, woman, like my bad, I fucked up. Like, hey, he's your friend. I don't even know you guys. I was invited here. He attacked me. He's my buddy, but fuck it. So anyways, as I'm walking to the door, she comes down again. She says, my boyfriend's upstairs, and like you got to pay for the wall too. And, like, she had this look, dude. She had this look, like, kind of, like, scared, you know? So me, being a fucking, you know, fucked up sociopath, like, oh, I got to hurt somebody. I'm like, well, if he wants to pay for the wall, he can come fucking suck my dick and earn the money. Next thing I know, dude, he comes out and there's a fucking shotgun, fucking racks it right to my fucking head. And mind you, dude, guys, if somebody wants to kill you, generally you're dead. Like, if somebody puts a gun on you and you don't get the fucking, and you don't get plugged right off the back, there's a chance you're going to walk out of that one. So you should probably just do what they say. So anyways, I put my hands up and I'm like begging. I'm like, dude, please, no, man. Don't fucking shoot me, dude. I'm so fucking sorry. Dude. I just want to leave. And then all of a sudden I grab the gun, just fucking start slamming his head to the wall. Boom, fucking falls down in the face. Take the shotgun, point at his head. I shit you not, dude. Right when I'm about to pull the trigger, his girlfriend jumps on top of him and starts crying and like begging for his life.
So you were going to pull the trigger.
Fuck yeah. But like, but then it's like, it's not that, God. But. The problem was the only way I wouldn't have done it, like, that's a hard case to beat. That's a hard case. Like, you have the gun, he's defenseless, like, oh, it's a hard case to beat.
Yeah, you ain't beating that case.
Ah, fuck. I mean, maybe. I say I felt threatened. Man. I don't know. But the problem was I was also fucking fighting two felony GBIs.
Not good.
Yeah, man. Fucking A, dude. But yeah, I was going to be my first confirmed kill, you guys. I'm kind of sad it never happened.
Well, I'm glad.
Come on, dude. You got to want to smoke somebody. You probably carry a gun. There would be a time in your life you fucking wanted
to. I would like to go to my grave without ever killing anybody.
Why?
Why?
Are you religious?
Because I don't want to be involved in that.
Let's just say you get one free pass.
Someone's
free pass.
Son. Oh, someone's.
Yeah. You shouldn't raise your son not to be That's a fucking not, asshole.
Listen to you, man. But listen to things that happen in your life and think about people that have had worse things happen to them.
Yeah.
I would rather go through life with minimal conflict.
Yeah, that's how I started fighting again, is I got arrested. So I was, I'm just rambling. It was probably time to wrap this bitch up. Just rambling on about my fucking life. Hey, what else would you guys like to know? I lost my virginity at. He doesn't count, though. it wasn't consensual. fuck, man. I got arrested when I was, 18. But prior to that, I was like, dude, my life sucks. I'm sleeping on a gym. If you ever slept on a mat, you guys, it's really hard on the shoulders, right? You slept on a mat, dude. It's like, it just kills your shoulders.
Yeah, it's not good.
After, like, about a fucking month of sleeping on a mat, I was like, fuck my life. This sucks. I don't want to be fired anymore. So I go to Armed Recruiter. I'm like, hey, man, you guys are supposed to be easy to get into. I don't have a high school diploma. How do I join you guys? He's like, well, all you need is 15 college credits, and then you could blah, 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 sign up for this, and you could get in. So I'm like, sweet, 15 college credits? That's only like a couple semesters or a semester. So I go sign up at a community college, get my credits. The night I go to a party, and then that little voice in my head, that tells me to fucking do something bad fucking comes in my head, and I fucking hurt two people. I had to go get surgery. So, facing two felony GBIs, I had to pay my lawyer, I had to pay my bail bondsman, and then King of the Cage hit me up, and they're like, hey, we have a fight in South Africa in like 2 weeks, you want to go? And I'm like, fuck yeah, I'm about to go back to jail right now, I need money, fuck yes, I have to pay my bail bondsman. So, I fucking went, took a short-nosed fight in South Africa, and here we are with the Joe Rogan.
Wow.
Life, dude, strange, right?
It is strange.
You ever been arrested, Joe?
No.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair.
That's fair.
Well, I mean, you know, you could always like tell, like, I don't know, you just paint a picture of a man. Like, you don't, there's not really much about you, Joe. Like, you just Joe Rogan, the podcast man that believes in aliens and does drugs. we don't really know what makes Joe Rogan tick. I mean, you know, Fear Factor was awesome. I watched that shit all the time when I was a fucking kid. She was fucking awesome.
But what makes me tick is obviously very different than what makes you tick.
Yeah.
We're finding that out today.
But you got to ask yourself. Like,
I want you to embrace that you're a better person than you were then. It seems like you kind of like fall back on this I'm a piece of shit thing. It's almost like you use that as like a little bit of a shield.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Yeah. You don't have to do that.
But I mean, what is,
I don't think you are like, a I'm piece not gonna, of shit. Like, I wouldn't rob you. I don't think you are a piece of shit.
But it's also society. What is society?
I think
allow?
You hold on to that a little too much.
Okay, let me tell you something.
Okay.
Let me tell you something. Please tell me. This is how I look at it.
Okay.
Let's just say you believe in God. Let's just say Joe Rogan, the Christian. If he's Muslim, this conversation will go very differently, but we'll go Christian.
Okay.
So, society allows you to be a decent human being. But let's just say in your heart of hearts, right?
Mm-hmm.
You fucking, the world ends and your fucking family's hungry and you go fucking kill your neighbor and feed him to your family. I'm assuming you would do that, right? If it came to you and your kids.
That's the plot of every apocalypse movie.
I agree. So you would do that. So if society is allowing you to be a decent human being, yet you were not a decent human being because you would do this if the situation had arised, are you a decent human being? Like, if, with who you are?
I
and
think you have to take into consideration all the experiences that you've had in your life. And I don't think it's as simple as, are you a good human being or are you a bad human being? Here's the thing. Are you a better human being than you used to be? 100%. Yeah. Did you get through one of the most horrific childhood stories that I've ever had anybody talk about? 100%. And you can't expect someone to come out of that and be a monk.
Yeah.
You can't expect that. Just the sheer amount of trauma that you've experienced, like you were talking about PTSD, 100% you've got that. Yeah. 100%. The sheer amount of trauma. And I think you hold the I'm a piece of shit, and you hold that up as a shield to sort of protect yourself and give yourself like a way out of
things. You know what it is too, man? I have such little I have such little respect for humanity. Like, and this sounds like, again, I love life. I'm happy. I have good friends. My girlfriend's amazing. But like,
right. But you don't have, you have respect for some aspects of humanity. You have respect
people,
for some people.
People just suck.
But you have respect for some people. Some people don't suck.
Yeah.
Chris Curtis doesn't suck.
I almost
you have friends
up.
That
dude,
don't
I almost
suck.
Broke up with my girlfriend once. I shit you not, dude. I'm still fucking mad at her, dude. I'm still fucking mad at her. We're walking. And I was like, babe, I want to get to know you a little better. All right? I want to get to know you a little better. I was like, what would have happened if I were to kill somebody?
She said, I'll call the cops.
And I was like, you have a magic wand and you can make it go away. Guy's still fucking dead. Fucking kids are still orphaned, but you can make it go away. Would you wave your fucking wand? She said, nah, I'd put you in jail.
Well, she's a girl. First of all, A, you're not supposed to ask those questions.
Bro, it was like,
because you're painting a scenario that's impossible.
It was like a week. It was like a fucking week of me and her like mad at her. And she's mad at me. She's like, you really going to leave me for that? I'm like, babe, like, I'm not saying this could happen, but like, okay, for instance, I use a scenario. We were walking. We were fucking. And I was like, babe, like, you need to understand this could happen. Chris Curtis is fighting in a fucking, I don't know where it was, Florida. And there's this homeless guy walking, and then Chris Curtis and Chris Curtis's wife, or girlfriend, whatever the fuck she is, right? Baby's mama, whatever you want to call her, is walking, and this homeless guy on drugs veers off and starts following him. We're like probably like 20 yards behind him.
Mm-hmm.
And they start walking in this like alleyway in this home. I mean, clearly, like, dude, if you're there, the guy's fucking following them.
Right.
And me being a sociopath, I'm like, I'm gonna kill this motherfucker right now. We're in a dark alleyway. I'm gonna spike this motherfucker's head on the ground, and we're gonna fucking just be on our merry way, and we have two attractive women to be our witnesses. So I'm walking, all of a sudden Kurt sees it and starts running at him, and I'm like, Kurt, what the fuck, dude? Like, we were about to fucking kill this guy. You just, and now I'm thinking, now I'm starting to think I'm a piece of shit. I'm like, did you just use your woman as bait to kill a man? Because I'm thinking everything's fine. He's probably just a crazy motherfucker. He's probably just gonna go grab their ass and then give me an excuse to spike his fucking head on the ground. So I'm like really mad at Chris Curtis now. I'm like, you motherfucker, dude, you ruined this. You ruined our opportunity. But
that's also easy to say when it didn't happen.
Yeah, but I mean, again, in my brain, it's like, dude, you like...
Right, but you keep saying you hate humanity, but you don't.
Well,
you
I don't just, hate, no, I just
you
know
love
what we are.
Some people.
I know what we are.
But you love quality people. The problem is you just don't have a wealth of them in your life, and you haven't had a wealth of them in your life. You've had a very small number of them that you only met once you started fighting.
So I gave my girl that story, and she was like, I was like, that's what I'm saying, babe. Like, there's a situation where this could happen, and I might need you to embellish the truth.
But that's... That's not even embellishing. That's self-defense. If someone does attack your girl.
But it was like, you know, it would have been pushed. But yeah, anyways.
That's the most justifiable thing ever.
I mean, what would you do, man? Your wife fucking...
100% I'd do what you just
said. No. What if your wife does something just fucked up? What if she has, like, I don't know. I'm trying to think of a scenario. What if she fucking shoots the mailman on accident and you can make a wand and make it go away? Would you do it?
It's a good question.
Fuck yeah, you do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do it.
Yeah.
So does that make you a decent human being?
Well, there's sometimes people make compromises, and sometimes people have to make very difficult choices. Doesn't necessarily mean you're a bad human being, but it's not a good choice. Oh, it's not a good situation to be in either.
I'd hide the body. I'd go get a Sawzall and fucking just cut them. What do you sell with it? Vegas is big, man. A lot of fucking desert.
Oh, man. How many holes are out in that desert?
Fuck.
Dude, that was hilarious. Like when Lake Mead started shrinking and they started finding all these bodies.
Fuck, dude.
They found a ton of bodies in fucking oil drums and shit.
Fuck, dude. I cannot imagine. I was on a hike the other day in Vegas. You know, my chick likes to fuck. I hate fucking hiking. Fucking hike. You like to hike? Well, you like to go hunt shit. I could do that. Like, you want to go grab a gun and walk through the... I could go do that, man. But just, like, wandering through the fucking desert, I'm like, oh, there's a fucking rock. There's a fucking lizard.
Some people do it because they need to get out in nature, and they just like to get a little exercise.
Men only hike, dude, because in the back of our brains, we think there's going to be a waterfall with fucking naked women underneath it. That's the only reason.
Good luck finding that
in
Vegas.
And the moment, and the moment you realize, dude, there's no waterfall with fucking pussy underneath it, you're going to be like, why the fuck am I doing this?
Some people like hiking. They didn't grow up like you.
Fuck, if you who like, dude, you just, it's the same shit over and over.
Yeah, but it's
again.
A peaceful thing for some people. They just like that.
Yeah, dude,
walking,
but you don't kill
and...
dude. You fucking do DMT and lay in float tanks and shit, dude. You're a fucking hippie.
Yeah, I am a little bit of a hippie. But it's different people, man. Different people, they come from different walks of life, different circumstances, and they have. I don't think you're a bad guy, Sean.
No,
I,
I'm not.
I think
a bad guy. No, for
you
sure.
Just, I think you use that as a little bit of a crutch.
Okay. I mean, it's nice.
But I do know that if someone did fuck with you, you would spike them on the head.
Yeah, fuck.
That's that too.
Well, the
like
shitty thing
too.
Is, as we talk about this, it's gonna be a really hard case for me to fucking beat. So.
Right. If something happened,
yeah,
right.
Gonna
this
use,
is gonna be.
This is gonna be fucking used as court.
Yeah. For sure.
What I'm saying, you guys, I just recently found Jesus Christ.
That's the move.
Bro, you know what's funny? Speaking of religion. So, I make fun of fucking everybody. Jews and Muslims, everybody. But Muslims are fucking nuts, dude.
So, they get very, 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 very upset if you talk any shit about Islam.
So, there's a guy named Albert Durov. And, like, we have a lot of Muslims at the gym. And I fucking love these guys, dude. Like, they're fucking, you know, they're fucking solid motherfuckers. So, one day, Albert Durov... I mean, I would go hard on Muhammad, like, everything that you weren't supposed to do. I'm like, well, let me show you this doodle I said.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Hey, Twitter, check this out, right? I don't give a fuck. It's America. So one day, fucking, you know, Albert Durov comes up to me and he was like, hey, Sean, could I talk to you? I thought he was going to show me a move. Albert Durov is a great wrestler. So I'm like, all right, sure. I'll be your wrestling dummy for all these little Muslims come in the cage. And they like, and I go to like get on like what are we doing, guard? What position are we in here, Albert? And he's like, no. Sit down, Sean. I'm like, oh fuck me. He puts his hand on my leg. Muslim dude, you're super touchy feely, man. It's so fucking weird, man. Like, fucking, you ever hung out with a bunch of Muslim guys? Dude, it's like fucking, it's
they're friendly,
super friendly guys, super fucking friendly. It's so odd, especially because of religion. So he's like, Sean. In my country, I cannot be friends with you. I'm like, what are you fucking talking about? He's like, you say things about Islam that my, like, pretty much saying that, like, I cannot be friends with you because what you say about Islam.
Right.
And I've never, I mean, I'd make fun of Jews, Christians, fucking Scientologists, fucking, you know, I make fun of everybody.
Right.
So after that, after he caressed my leg and rubbed my head a little bit, I was like, fuck it, dude, I'm going to lay off Islam. So Albert Durov is why I fucking... You know, I give Islam a fucking pass, which makes me a sellout, but whatever.
No, it doesn't.
I like
Listen,
Albert.
Man, there's fights that you should pick, and it's not necessary. Yeah. It's like, also, it's like that belief system helps people, keeps them disciplined, keeps them on a good path. I mean, how many great fighters are like devout Muslims? It's a pretty high percentage.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the most popular religions
in
the world.
Yeah, it's one of the most popular religions in the world, but it's also, it's a religion that embraces discipline.
Yeah.
100%. I mean, you go through Ramadan, you're not eating all day, you're not drinking any water all day. Yeah. I mean, the fact that guys...
But it's also not really compatible with American values.
It's not compatible with some aspects of American values, especially when it comes to women, gay rights, things along those lines.
Well, I mean, it sounds reasonable to me. There is a God, and God in his rightful wisdom... You know, as he created the earth and he created the people, he said, these fucking whores, we need to cover this. I mean, that sounds fucking reasonable to me. I mean, I just said I don't want women working. Maybe I'm a fucking Muslim, you guys. I like pork, though. God damn it.
Well, you said you don't want women working because you recognize the importance of a mother's role. It is a job. It's just not a job that pays money.
Well,
and
it doesn't
get supported. It's the fact that raising a kid is a fucking insanely difficult proposition. And the fact that we expect people to raise kids while they also are doing, you know, a job, a fucking 8-hour-a-day job, and then commuting
did
and being exhausted.
Did your mom work?
My mom worked, yeah.
Okay. Can I ask what your mom did for
My mom me? Was a secretary.
Okay, yeah. What'd your stepdad do?
He was an architect.
Oh, fuck, okay.
Yeah.
That's fuck. So you were fine.
Well, he went through school when I was a kid. So, like, we were poor. When I was young, we were very poor. We were on welfare, food stamps, the whole deal. And then as I was in high school, he started making money.
How old are you when you're like, hey, I want to be a comedian? I mean, that's
21.
21?
Yeah.
Did you go to college?
You think about doing stand-up?
No.
I think you do a little bit.
No, fuck you. I just, no? I don't try to be funny. I just am retarded.
Yeah. Well, Jim Funny is a funny kind of funny. Like, that's how I got into comedy.
Oh, yeah.
By making people laugh in the gym.
It's locker room talk on steroids.
Locker room talk on steroids. Also, there's like, it's gallows talk, too, because everyone's sparring. There's a lot of nerves, and it's easier to crack the ice. It's fun.
Oh, man. Dominic Cruz has a fucking weird gym. I mean, even straight up Dominic Cruz.
Alliance?
Alliance. Yeah. I mean, he's also in a cult, by the way. Khalil Roundtree's in a cult, too.
What do you mean? They're in a cult?
Yeah, they're like in a weird fucking cult.
What cult?
I can't stand Khalil Roundtree.
I love that guy.
God, this fucking... He just... Because he doesn't know these people intimately.
Well, I love him talking to him.
Yeah,
I enjoy talking to him a couple times.
Oh,
yeah.
Man, he's a dirty fucking feminist.
What?
Like, I'll tell you a story. I can't stand this fucking guy. You guys like...
You seem to not like most people.
I don't
like... It's like you and Chris Curtis against the world.
Well, I'll tell you why. So, I used to run a wrestling class at a gym I was at, and somebody invited Roundtree. I'm like, God damn it, why'd you invite this guy? He's just a fucking pussy. So, we're training, right? And guys, I give some good speeches. I give some good hot, raw speeches. So, I'm like, well, when you guys are wrestling, you got to pick the fucking baddest motherfucker, and you got to go with him. And if I see you going Khalil Roundtree, I know that's not what you fucking did. You're being a pussy. So I said that speech as like a rah-rah moment for Khalil to be like, fuck you, Sean. I'm going to show you fucking what's up. And I thought it was going to make him step up and fuck me up. But instead he stormed off the mat. He just fucking walked off the mat. And he was like, Sean, I don't respect you. I don't really like you. I'm like, yeah, because you're a fucking feminist pussy in a cult. So
what cult are you? You keep saying cult.
So there's like this weird like Las Vegas, like I think I don't quote me on this, dude. I heard somebody was telling me Dominic Cruz was in it, but I don't want to fucking Dominic Cruz did fuck a chick I was into when I was like 16. So I'm so salty at him. Like, you know, like bro, like the hottest, like, you know, the hottest, I think she became a stripper.
Well, you were 16. You're still holding a grudge.
I was like 17. And I was
like 17. That's hilarious.
And it was like, you know, like that one when you
half your life ago,
you know, when you get the hottest piece of ass ever, mm-hmm. dude, I'm like a kid, dude, and this girl, she's a little older than me. She's like a little model. I'm like, oh, the fucking best piece of ass I've ever got in my life. Sex with her on the beach of the lagoon. It was awesome, right? It's actually kind of funny. I was having sex with her on the beach, and there was like a fish run. Like, I'm having sex with you, and this is camera flashes all down the beach. And yes, I did not stop. But continue. Back to my story. So I'm so salty because later in life, I mean, he's on his road to being a fucking champ. He might have been a champion at the time. So she went over there and started fucking him, and she.
So, but what is this cult thing that you keep talking?
Let me say. Okay, but they laid in bed. She was like, "He's such. I hate myself for knowing this. I hate my. But I'm going to tell you guys. If I know it, you guys need to know it. Because yeah, he's such a weirdo. He just lays in bed and watches fucking fight videos and plays with the cats all day. And I'm like, well, fucking A, man.
That's how you become great.
That's why I'm not fucking you anymore. I gotta start watching fucking.
What does that have to do with being in a cult?
So, anyways, fast forward. I just want to tell you the fucking story.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, this is good. Fucking your fans like fighting. Yeah, you guys know Dominic Cruz is a fucking weirdo and he stole my chick. Fucking dweeb, right? Fuck him.
I love that dude too.
I actually really like Dominic Cruz.
He's awesome.
I talk to him every time I do like pre-fight media. He's there. I love Dominic Cruz. Well, fuck you, dude. Anyway, so there's like this weird like church or like it's like a self-help cult. And one day, like, Khalil came and, like, took somebody out of training and was like, oh, I don't want to, like, the kid didn't want to fucking go. Chris Curtis is the witness to this. And the kid didn't want to go. And, like, it was kind of like a weird abduction situation. Yeah, he's like in, like a self-help weird group. Hmm. But no, you guys, let me tell you guys about Khalil. If you knew him on a personal level, you would fucking hate him. Unless you're a dirty feminist. There is this girl named Alina. She's a PFL girl. This is a true story about Khalil. Let me tell you why I hate Khalil. Tell me why. Alina, PFL girl, shaved her head. Kind of looks like a man now, but, you know, whatever. You know, she had to make weight, I guess. So, Alina, dude, she's like fucking 5'10", big, dude. She's big, dude. Like, she's big, dude. She's not a sexual predator. I mean, she looks like she could be a sexual predator. So, Khalil Roundtree is showing somebody a move, and she walks up to Alina, a Ukrainian girl, and like puts her like in a move. And the Ukrainian girl, who looks like a fucking, I mean, dude, she looks like a, you guys Google her. Anyways, She's like, oh, sexual harassment. But she said it jokingly. And like, the, if you see her, it's funny.
Right.
And Roundtree's like, that is not funny. I'm a black man in America. You cannot even joke about that. And we're all like, black guys, white guys, we're all sitting like, dude, Khalil, what the fuck is your problem, bro? Like, it's a joke, man. But yeah, he's just a fucking girl, dude. Like, on a personal level, you guys don't want to hang out with that fucking guy.
Okay. I like him.
Oh, yeah, you like
him. I enjoyed talking to him.
Well, yeah, you enjoyed.
But I'm not in that situation with him.
Yeah, you were going to tell
but
him.
You're also
that,
very.
You're going to tell him that you don't want transgenders in the sport, and next thing you know, dude, he's going to fucking accuse you of touching him under the desk.
Really?
No, I'm just. I mean, he's a feminist, dude.
Is he like a self-proclaimed feminist?
Yeah, like he's just like.
I think people say things like that sometimes because they think it's a good thing to say.
I'm going
to
tell you guys another insight.
Oh, listen, come on, Dave.
No, it's great. It's great.
Please.
It's great. Please, it's great, bro. It's great.
Because the guy's not here to defend himself.
No, this
I don't
is
want to
this
do
is
that.
Factual. This is factual.
Okay. All right.
I was hitting on a chick once, and he ended up dating this chick. So this is before I knew Khalil kind of sucked. And I go, yo, Khalil, like, you salty motherfucker, man. I was talking to that girl, and like, you ended up snagging her up. Like, you motherfucker. I'm jealous.
Right.
He goes to the PI, and I guess this is after they broke up, so I thought, like, a couple years passed, it would be funny now if I tell him that, like, you know, you fucking snagged her from me.
Right.
And then a couple years pass, and I tell him this, and he goes to the PI, and he files a complaint in the Performance Institute that I brought this up, and I made him feel, like, uncomfortable or sad.
Oh, Jesus.
Factual. And then the guy at the time, around the PI, he had to come up to me. He was like, yeah, man, Sean, I got to tell you this. Like, you know, I can't tell you who it was. And I'm like, dude, it was funny. Like, everybody in the physical therapy team was laughing. Like, it was fucking funny. It wasn't bad. But yeah, no. So, yeah, you're right. Khalil's a great guy, guys. Fuck yeah. I love Khalil.
I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. It's not like your sense of humor with a sensitive person could create real problems. But I didn't know that people, like, make formal complaints at the Ultimate Fighting Championship Performance Institute.
That's what I'm saying. Then mind you,
that seems
crazy. I even asked the PT team. I'm like, guys, did I like? Because you know, so I'm an asshole and I say a lot of crazy shit. I'm like, did I go overboard?
Yeah. Khalil's a very sensitive guy, and I think you know he's gone through these journeys where he's all in and fighting, and then not all in and fighting.
That was actually really funny, by the way, when he told his mom to shut up when she was like coaching him. He like looked over, shut up, mom.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he didn't see that. He was like mid fight, bro. He told his mom, shut up, mom.
That is distracting. Your mom screaming. Was it at the Apex Center?
Ah, fuck. No, I think it was like a big fight. Yeah, fucking A, dude. But yeah, I guess I'm just a cunt, dude. There also is that, you guys.
You're just, listen, I like you, but I get people like you. I've been around people like you my whole life. I get it. I know what it's like.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people like you out there in the world. It's like, as long as you understand what a person like you has been through and who you are, it's fun.
I mean, Khalil, again, the thing about Khalil,
you make life a little more fun.
Khalil might be the first trans female athlete in the UFC.
Jesus Christ, stop it.
He's already fucking sensitive.
That's one thing that I'm happy the UFC would never allow.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Every time I go on the news, I think like Joe Rogan's a bigot hating on the trans community.
What the fuck is going on with people allowing biological men to compete against women?
Out of all the
sensitive shit, I'm a pretty sensitive person. I'm pretty open-minded, but you gotta know, like, somebody sent me like a video of a guy in a dress with a hard on in a bathroom. Have you seen that video?
Yeah,
seen taking photos
of
women.
Have you ever trained with a woman? Have you ever like trained with, like, so you know Gabby Garcia? That
sure.
I trained with her once. And I was like, fuck. Before we trained, I was like, told the coach, like, dude, am I gonna have to fuck this chick up? Because she's bigger than
me. She's huge.
And I was like, am I gonna have to fuck this
chick?
She's
on all the
Mexican
supplements.
Yeah, dude, no, her fucking clit is probably bigger than this fucking can. You know? I'm like, am I going to have to fuck this chick up? And he starts laughing. I'm rolling with her. And then she was just weak. Like, she just felt like a fat chick.
Yeah.
Well, and after that, I was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah. There's a weird thing going on in this culture with gender. And it's not good.
You know what it is?
It's not good.
There's no more battles, man. There's women are working. There's no more racism. I mean, there's still racism. But, you know, it's equality. Like, people just need something to fight over.
It's also an easy way where you can become special.
Yeah.
I mean, the New Jersey just said that there was a 4,000% increase in kids identifying as non-binary. Huh. First of all, what the fuck does that even mean? And allowing someone to say they're non-binary to me is like, listen, you don't have to embrace masculinity and you don't have to embrace femininity. You don't have to.
But you got a dick or you got a vagina.
Yes. I mean, we're making people special with no effort. And if you just say you're a they and a them and everybody has to say that, and if they don't say that, you can yell at them, which is what, you know.
I'm surprised you don't toe the line, dude. I'm shocked that you take that opinion.
Fuck that line. Fuck that line, because that's crazy. This line, the line of biological males competing against females, that's the line.
This is a true story, man. Again, like, here I'm fucking Sean the storyteller. Fucking, I was at Team Quest, and there was a fucking a transgender, fuck, I don't know what the fuck you'd call him. I
mean, a woman? Male or woman?
It was a fucking, male, he had female? A dick, and he wore right. a dress.
Okay.
So, you know, whatever the fuck you call him. And this fucking guy, dude, he would go spar, and my girlfriend, my ex-girlfriend at the time, would go spar these women and, like, break their fucking noses oh. and, like, fuck them up and, like...
There's a lot of that. Yeah. There's a lot of
or
that.
Or, like,
there's...
they would go fucking, he'd go in the locker room. He has a family. He had, you know, later on in transition, he had a fucking family. He'd go in the locker room, you know, my girlfriend with her big titties, and my ex with her big titties hanging out. You know,
right, and they're walking around with their dick hanging out.
Oh, I'd fuck him up.
It's crazy. It's crazy that, first of all, there's a thing called autogynephilia. It's a real thing. And it's a thing where there's a fetish where men get sexually aroused by pretending that their women are dressing up like women, but they want to fuck women.
Yeah.
And so they're heterosexual. So they want to have sex with females, but they identify as a female for this kink. And, you know, there's also trans people that, for whatever reason, nature threw them a curveball. They're in the wrong body.
Yeah,
but you can't fucking compete against women.
Yeah, but, man, I'll tell you what.
It's not fair in any way, shape, or form.
You every now and then you'll meet kids, right, and, like, masculine father, and you're like, oh, man, that kid's going to be gay for sure. Like, you meet kids, dude, and they already got the lisp. It's like, dude, you're, like, fucking 10 years old, and your dad's
yeah,
in the military.
That's, but
why are you
gay is normal. Yeah. Gay is just nature. It's
so
just,
that's another thing, dude. I'm pro. Like, dude, if you're a dude and you want to suck a dick, go suck that dick, dude. Suck all the
I know
dick.
You said that about if you had a kid. I thought that was hilarious.
Like, don't be wrong, if I have a kid and I think he's gay, I'm gonna do everything I can to make this kid not fucking gay. I might even take him to therapy if he has a list and starts walking around like this, dude. I don't want to fucking gay as a kid, but that's reasonable. If you talk to gay dudes, you talk to gay dudes, and gay dudes don't want gays as a kid. Being gay is fucking hard, man. You gotta, like...
Yeah.
But if at some point my kid turns 18, he's like, Dad, I like to suck dick. I'm like, kid, suck all that dick you want. Get all
get
the
in
fucking...
there.
Get just, the white dick, get the black dick, get the yellow dick, all the dick, dude.
Yeah.
You know, get a boyfriend. Hopefully I like him, dude. Well, it'd be an interesting Thanksgiving.
Well, this is the weird thing about this whole LGBTQ, like, coalition, like a group of people all connected together, because... A lot of my friends who are gay, they don't like what's going on with this movement because they think that a lot of people who just would be gay are getting convinced into becoming trans. Yeah. They're getting convinced into becoming that they really are.
But you know
a
we're losing, right? You know we're going to lose this fight.
I don't know about that.
Oh, we're going to lose this fight for sure. You know
what does that mean?
So it's like you got to understand, dude. They're going to look back at us as like we're going to be the old racist white guy. We're going to be the old racist white guy on the porch saying, I remember in my day when fucking black people couldn't go to school. That's how we're going to be viewed. I remember in my day when chicks had vaginas and dicks and dudes had dicks. Eventually, this is what the system wants. This is what the system gets. We will
I
die.
Don't think the system wants anything. I don't think that's what's going on. I think there's what I said
what about
earlier.
School,
I think that's there's an out. And I think there's also a lot of people that are teaching school that don't have children of their own, and that also they get social value and social brownie points for embracing gender ideology because it's the like.
But how many generations until we lose? How many generations until?
Depends on what happens. One thing that well, this is the question: are we at the fall of an empire? Because if we are at the fall of an empire, I've talked about this before, but Douglas Murray, who's this British intellectual who's also gay, by the way, he says that at the end of every empire, they become obsessed with gender.
Yeah.
And that is one very weird thing that I never saw coming. If you came to me just fucking 10 years ago and said that gender and transgender ideology would be the thing that the president would be talking, he'd be sitting there with Dylan Mulvaney getting interviewed. Day 365 of womanhood. Yeah. Imagine. That's like fighting in the UFC. You started training a year ago. Like, you're interviewing the fucking president? You've only been a woman a year?
Yeah.
What about all these other actual biological women that are running around that have been a woman their whole life? And you get
year.
In only because you're...
You could be a woman of a year, not have a dick, bro.
Exactly.
I mean, there's a reason why that men are better than women. Look, we even make fucking better women.
Well, Caitlyn Jenner was like woman of the year 6 months into being a woman. The whole thing is nuts. And it is a way where people become special without doing any work at all.
Your kid, but I'm saying your kids' kids will.
Maybe. I don't know. I think it's turning around. I think people are pushing back against it now because they're realizing how fucking insane it is. But there's certain people that are just lost in the trance, and they're just pushing it.
Are these people, like, are they 14-year-olds? Are they kids? No, they're adults.
But young kids, too. I see it with young kids today, too. But there's a lot of young kids that are pushing back against this.
Yeah, man. I mean, I remember, dude. I remember when I was a fucking kid, dude. It wasn't like, when I was a kid, there were still hate crimes against gays. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I'm 32, you guys, so, like, it was fucking weird. I mean, I remember.
I'm sure there's still hate crimes against gays.
There's hate crimes against gays. Like, there's always shit, but it was common practice.
Mm.
Like, it was like we bullied the fuck out of gays. I remember there's one kid I wrote. He wouldn't let me cut in lunch line. I mean, my buddy literally pinned him against a wrong little fag on his white shirt, and then being gay.
Mm.
Like, it crazy progress, man. Progress in the last 10 years. And again, I'm like, you guys, I was an angry, hateful fucking kid. You know, like. Like, if I could go back, I'd fucking wave my wand and would have fucking happened. You know, do I feel bad? Probably not. But I was an angry, like, cause and effect. But, man, the amount of progress that happened for the gays in such a short period of time, wild.
Yeah. And, you know, I think a lot of people think that amount of progress has happened for the trans movement, too. But I think what has to happen is things go too far, and then they even out. And then what's really going to be a fucking long string of lawsuits, which is 100% coming, is these detransitioners, these people that were forced to transition kids. Or encouraged to transition when they were kids, which is fucking insane. When I hear people talking about hormone blockers being reversible, like what, but what, at what cost? Like, what is going to happen? Like, there's a lot of people out there that no longer can have children. They don't have their penis anymore. They don't have their ovaries anymore.
You know what it is, dude?
They cut their breasts
off.
Social
media. I'll tell you what, social media is a fucking plague of the earth. Everybody wants to be special.
Yes.
And, you know, if to transition, it's a way to be special. To support that, the way to be special.
And you immediately get love because of it.
Yeah.
And it's a way to become special without putting in any work.
If right now, if I put a fucking wig on and I said, I mean, look at all these Navy SEALs that fucking cut their dick off, or when the next thing you know, they become special.
How many Navy SEALs are cutting their dick off?
You ever watched that one, dude?
Kristen Beck.
Been
on the podcast
before. He threatened that.
But went back to being a man again.
He threatened that little Jewish kid. What's that little Ben Shapiro?
Oh, that one.
I would love if that shit happened to me. I'd be like, all right.
I felt the same way.
I never smacked a woman, but yeah. I'm gonna count this as a woman.
Yeah, that one was nuts. Threatening him because he was saying that he's a man.
Well, I mean, but what I'm saying though, it's like, dude, everybody wants to be special. Like, I'm like pseudo famous. It's not
weird.
But
you're becoming special through hard work. So you understand what it's like to be special.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to be special, but they don't want to fucking. Not everybody wants to work.
Yeah.
And if there's a pathway for young kids, especially this generation where everybody wants a quick fix for everything, if there's an instantaneous pathway for you to become special, all you have to do is make your hair blue and say you're a they, and you wear a dress to school.
Well, I got to ask something before we run out of time.
Okay.
What about a affirmative action ending? How do you feel about that?
I don't think
CNN. It's either CNN's going to love you or hate you.
Fuck CNN. I don't think that's. I don't think that's the solution. I don't think affirmative action is a solution. I think the solution is what we talked about earlier: finding these impoverished, crime-ridden communities, whether it's white people in Appalachia where they're all on fucking pills, or whether it's black people that live in Baltimore or Puerto Ricans that live in the Bronx, whatever the fuck it is, where you have impoverished communities.
Yeah.
We can't just leave them alone. We can't just let – that's where everything's fucked. They should elevate the quality of education, elevate the quality of life, and it should be a gigantic project that the whole country gets behind. That's what I think is the way to fix things.
Well, I mean, systematic oppression is a real thing. And
it's a real thing.
On white people and black people.
Yes.
Like, I always tell people, man, like, it's actually kind of funny. I got a shit storm because I said – what's his name? He's a D1 wrestler, black guy, and I said he was like the white, and I made fun of him for not being black. What the fuck's his name? Phil Haas. I said, like, Phil Haas went and trained with me, and, like, he was such a pussy. Like, I was like, hey, man, like, you're a middleweight, I'm a middleweight, let's, like, bang a little bit. He's like, Sean, are you sure you want to spar hard? I'm like, yeah, dude, let's fucking fight.
And then
but you're an unusual guy. You have to understand, like, just that alone. So, how many guys are, like, just banging all day for training?
So, anyway, yeah, he quit.
How many guys?
I mean, think about
what your style is.
But listen, my segue to that.
Okay.
I used to train at a black gym at Millennia with Lorenz Larkin. One of my mates, Jonathan.
Yeah.
Wilson. I mean, one guy had a fucking bullet.
That's a great gym.
Every time you would grab his arm, he'd be like, oh, you're moving my fucking bullet. You got shot in San Bernardino. So my experience with black people were like...
Hardcore.
Like, yeah. I was the fucking, like when you get arrested, you guys, and this, at least in California, whenever you get walked to your cell, they segregate the whites and the blacks and the Mexicans. Whites and Mexicans roll together, blacks roll separate. They're segregated, at least in the county I was in. And, bro, you walk by this fucking cage, and you got these black people, and that's how kind of Millennium remind me. We got these black people grabbing the bars with their fucking big old beards, like, talking shit to you. Like, I remember, I got in my jail cell, and there was a guy named Spider, and he's, like, laying down. He's helping me make my bed. He's laying down the rolls. I'm like, I told him, I was like, dude, I'm not racist, dude. Like, I don't hate anybody. I told this guy this. He's like, yeah, that's not how it works here, man. It's either you're with us or you're with nobody. And I start thinking about walking past that, you know, black segregation. And I'm like, you know what, man? I'm going to have to put some thought on this, but I think I might be, I don't think I'm getting any tattoos anytime soon, but I think I might be riding with you guys. So anyways, that's kind of how Millennia was. I walk in there and I'd fucking be like the little white kid with long hair. And then I was like, oh, you fucking, you know.
The Tarzan days.
The Tarzan powder. And I got the shit kicked out of me by these black guys. I'll never forget, this black guy comes up to me once. Actually, Jonathan Wilson, the guy with the bullet in his arm. He goes, Sean, it doesn't matter how nice you are to me. You could walk in here and fucking, you know, be nice to me, ask me how my day is. I'm going to fuck you up regardless. And I was like, and that's like kind of when it hit me. Like, oh, yeah, like. I got to go in there. I got to get the big dick. I got to get the big black metaphorical dick. You know, I need those big old chocolate fucking nutsack. So now I walk in there like, you know, fuck you, Wilson. Are you guys ready to fuck? And I started doing better. I started becoming more of a presence.
Mm.
So whenever I told that about Phil Haas, everyone's like, oh, Sean Strickland's racist. He thinks that all black people are ghetto and violent. And, you know, in hindsight, there is some truth to that because I did say that. And that is kind of what I was implying. But... what I meant by that, though, is I like those people. I to me, you are a fucking nerd. You're this white person that I don't fucking like. I like the ghetto, the trashy, the boxers.
Hardcore dudes.
Yeah, I like the guys. We're like, yeah, fuck this guy. You know, I like those guys. So, like,
guys who like to talk shit when they spar like you.
So Phil took it as an insult, but to me, it's like I was insulting you because I respect those people. I don't respect you, Phil. I think you're a dirty fucking motherfucker, dude. I think you're a pussy. I think you're privileged. I think you have a D1 education. I think you're a fucking bitch. And then, you know, my boys back at Millennia, I love those fucking guys. I fucking love those guys.
When did you start training the way you train now, where most of your training is just sparring?
So, well, I mean, again, I spar. I fight, so I'm allowed to train. I hate fucking fighting. Fighting sucks, dude. Half of my paycheck goes if I lose. Like, fighting sucks, man.
I hate that. By the way, stupid. We talked about it with, I had Matt Serra, Dean Thomas, and my friend John Rollo on the podcast.
Guys fight. It's like... guys fight way hard. It's like slavery, man. Like, and again, I'm not saying UFC slavery, but slavery only ended for one reason, because it's a shit means of production. If you pay guy people money, they work harder and they do more. And that's kind of how like MMA would be. If you guys just paid a little bit more money, guaranteed pay, it would be like the new form of capitalism. Guys would fight. I mean, there was when I fought. Just,
no one's incentivized to fight harder for a win bonus. They're fighting as hard as they can.
When I fought Jared Cannonier, again, his corner won that for him, dude. It was crazy. I mean, I had the announcers coming, like, yeah, it was like kind of a boring fight, but you won. And like his corner's yelling, like, oh, all this, I'm like, those punches aren't landing, dude. I have a chin of a girl. You guys seen Alex knock me out? You touch my chin, I fucking fall asleep, bro. I don't know what to tell you. But, you know, that third, fourth round came, and I'm like, you know what, dude, none of these punches are landing. I don't have one mark on my face. Like, I'm landing him. I'm rocking him, you know. Like, I'm winning this fight. I'm just going to fucking jab and just coast and win this bitch. And then that's why I was so upset about the fight. But if they were like, hey, Sean, guarantee pay, maybe we double triple what you made, I would have went in there, bit my mouth, said, all right, motherfucker, let's bang. But, you know, half your paycheck, gone.
Also with bad judging.
Yeah.
Half your paycheck with a decision that people don't even agree with, and you lose half of your money.
You know what my
that happens all the time.
You know what my mistake was? I should have put Chris Curtis in my corner. Because, like, because Kurt would have talked. Like, so whenever he threw a couple combinations, all missed. And his coach is like, yeah, man, those are great. Those are all fucking landing. I'm like, when you box, man, when you box, a lot of punches look like they land, but right. they're missing by like...
Right, if you and go, you're turning your chin.
If you go yeah. in a slow motion, I mean, after the Jared Cannonier fight, I had bruises all over my chest because that's where he was landing. And I kind of wish I had Kurt in my corner just to tell his corner to shut the fuck up and say, no, motherfucker, those aren't landing. What are you talking about?
Right, right. Yeah. That is a crazy thing, though, especially at the apex. Boy, that can influence judges. Because yeah. the apex, there's no fucking crowd noise. You yeah. can hear everything, everybody.
Yeah, I mean, my whole chest was just bruised. But, I mean, those aren't landed punches.
Right.
So, yeah, no, I really wish they would change that. But
yeah. I wish they would too. That's my only complaint about the UFC. Really,
they
I
mean,
I wish people
fights.
Got made more
make...
money, and I wish people didn't have a fucking win bonus. It's just yeah. like they don't have that in boxing.
Yeah,
and I see other MMA organizations adopting it too, and I'm like, man, this is an opportunity to stand out. Don't do that.
Have you ever got to know like any boxers on a personal level?
Yeah, I've known a few boxers.
Man, they're, it's so shady.
You it's guys the want shadiest business.
Like guys, they're like most low level boxing fights, like between until you get to like 20 fights, 18 fights, generally these guys are paying their opponents to fight. Very, very often. That's why when you go look at a boxing record, it's like, what the fuck did you've lost? You've had 100 fights. You're like 1-99.
Right. There's a lot of setups.
But again, it's not that they want the setups. It's hard to get because these fucking boxers are like princesses. They know how important their record is. And if they take one bad loss and it goes from 16-1,
right.
it's a fucking restart.
That's one thing that I really do love about MMA is that when fighters lose, it's not the end of their career. And that the sport and the culture of sport has embraced the fact that guys get better through losses.
Yeah. Boxing's also easy, though.
It's definitely easier.
Yeah. But I mean, like.
But it's different. I mean, I wouldn't say easy, but it's just at the highest levels, it's not easy. I mean, when you watch like Lomachenko, Devin Haney, there's nothing easy about that fight.
Yeah, fuck. Lomachenko's so fucking good.
Fuck, he's good.
I was telling my buddy Robin, 16-0 guy, and I was like, well, we spar on Friday. I'm like, Robin, what did you do all week, man? Tell me about your fucking week, Robin. He goes, well, I ran, I hit pads, I did bag work, I ran. I'm like, well, I grappled on fucking Monday, I sparred on Tuesday, I wrestled on Thursday, I sparred on Thursday, Tuesday, and like, now me and you are boxing, sir. Yeah, boxing is fucking, that's why I fucking.
It's definitely easier, and also the less guys pull out of fights, for sure, because you have less injuries. When you're not getting wrestled, and you're not
that's why Francis, jiu-jitsu. I mean, that's why fucking Francis wanted to do, boxing's easy.
Well, also, he wants a big ass paid. Yeah, he's
really
like 37,
yeah, dude, I really wanted to watch him fight John Jones.
I did too. Yeah. I did too. It'd be very interesting.
I think John Jones hates me though.
John Jones hates you? Why?
I just go hard on him, dude. He posted some fucking thing. And we're both sponsored by Monster too, and I almost fucking ruined my Monster deal.
Yikes.
But he posted something, and I don't follow John. I like John. John Jones is, again, I don't think John Jones is the greatest because you get popped for that kind of steroids. I think they should be lifetime bans for steroid use. Lifetime fucking ban. It'd be one thing if like you have a tainted supplement. Like, let's just say like this was tainted. And I'm like, dude, no, mm-hmm. this is what it was. Joe Rogan fucking gave me this.
Right.
Maybe whatever. But a lifetime ban, dude, for intentional use.
Do you know that he intentionally used though?
I mean, I wasn't. Well,
imagine ruining a guy's career if you're wrong.
I mean, I mean I'm sure fucking Jamie could pull it up, but I'm pretty sure it was like some shit, right? Like,
well, here's the thing. Derek from moreplatesmoredates.com, you ever see that guy?
Yeah, yeah.
That guy is the most knowledgeable. When he talks about blood work and blood testing yeah. and whether or not there's indicators that show yeah. that, you know, someone had taken something. But, you know, his take on that is very different. And also his take, even Daniel Cormier, he was saying that Daniel Cormier is like, something's wrong with his blood work too.
Yeah.
But I don't know what that means.
So I go hard on John Jones. He posted something about, like, I think his kid got, like, and again, this is me being fucking CTE half retardation. His kid got, like, a dog like came out. Some crazy shit happened, but the kid was fine. Nothing injured. I didn't know the story.
Okay.
He said, you know, like, I love the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I like retweeted. I'm like, bro, like the only one that you fucking like is a devil, man. Like, should we go through your fucking highlight reel? You hit a fucking pregnant lady. You drove away. You smacked your wife. Like, you got a highlight reel, bro. You got a long, long highlight reel of being a piece of shit, you know? So yeah, that almost fucked my monstership deal.
Yikes.
But I mean, it's true though. Like, I hate these motherfuckers, dude. Like, this is what I'm gonna do. If I ever do something really bad, you guys, I'm gonna be like John Jones.
I think those guys don't want to be bad. I think there's a lot. We're not just talking about John. I'm talking about a lot of people that embrace the Lord. I think they generally hate what they've done, and they feel terrible, and so then they to Jesus to try to like cleanse themselves and try to find a better path. Yeah. I think it's because they're not bad people. They just recognize they've done bad things, especially when they're partying and getting fucked up.
Well, that's what's funny too. Like, I'm the piece of shit, dude. But like, I've never hit a fucking pregnant lady, and you know, that's fucked up, dude.
Yeah.
And then drive away, dude. You didn't stop. I mean, hell,
certainly some indefensible things.
Yeah, so what I'm saying, you guys, John Jones, you know, it's funny enough, like, I'm always like me and like Baha Muhammad. I think I said some shit about Palestine. They should bend the knee or some shit, and it's just kind of like Palestine would be way better if they threw out Hamas and they went to Israel and said, "Hey, let's make this shit better." It would be way fucking better. But then you have somebody like Baha Muhammad who fucking living in Miami. He's probably fucking, you know, barely ever goes to Palestine. Yeah, fuck yeah, and fuck you, Israel. Like, you know, propagating war instead of like, instead of bringing the olive branch and saying, "Hey, this sucks. How do we make it suck less?" He's like, "No, fuck you, Israel." Like, you're a coward, bro. You sit here in America and you say divisive shit from your couch on your Twitter thumbs. So, you know, he tried.
Just like causing problems. Bro.
But it's truth, dude. It's facts.
I know what you're saying.
Like, it's fact. Like,
that's a complicated issue, though. The Israel-Palestine thing. I've tried to understand that many, many times, talked to many, many people about it. It is fucking complicated.
Well, the problem is, Palestine, you lose. You lose. You gotta bend the fucking knee, dude. And this is what I said about Ukraine, too. I got a lot of shit. I was like, "You guys, Ukraine just need to bend the fucking knee." And it was like, "Why would you say that about Ukraine?" I'm like, "Because there's no path to success."
Yeah, but it's even more complicated than that. Ukraine's problem is there's NATO forces encroaching
we put missiles
it's
there.
Provoked.
Imagine if China allied with Mexico and we're like, "Hey, we're going to put some missiles."
And this is not in any way saying that what Putin did wasn't fucking horrible.
Yeah, no, Putin's a piece of shit. Yeah, piece of shit.
But all that is, the whole thing is complicated.
But I got so much shit for that because I was like, "Yeah, Ukraine should just been." And by the way, Zelensky's a fucking piece of shit, the president of Ukraine. You know, he's like throwing political parties in jail. Like, he's a piece of shit itself. I don't know how we look at him like a democracy. But I was like, "Yeah, Ukraine should just bend the knee." And everyone's like, "Oh, Sean, why would you say that? Why would you say that? You have doomed your country." I mean, did you see the pictures of the cities? Just rubble. Rubble. Like, everything's fucked.
This is not over.
But it's not over. So what I'm saying,
they're
going to
keep bombing things.
How do you come back from that as a country? Your kids, they are 100% going to wake up every day with a Ukraine flag. Let's say that happens. But they are going to be in utter fucking poverty. You've fucking doomed your... And again, it sucks. And the same thing with like with Palestine. The situation sucks. Although Israel is way better than fucking Russia. The situation sucks. But like, in the grand scheme of things, man, you just like... You just doom your kids. You just... Every time you sit there and you send out a tweet, you're making your kids live in poverty and fucking war. That's rough, man. It's fucking rough, dude.
It's very complicated. All those things are very, very complicated. And having a conversation between two meatheads on a podcast.
Oh, yeah, we're retarded. But it's like, dude, I mean, like, could you picture, like, I mean, if you were on your tweeter right now talking about, like, fuck Israel and all that, I would be like, "Joe, you're a fucking idiot, dude." Like, all you're doing is, it'd be one thing if you were there fucking lighting kike bombs from schools. It'd be one thing if you were the guy on the ground in a hospital launching rockets at Israel. I'm like, "Well, at least you're living it." But just to be in Miami doing on the tweet, just shitty, man. Like, just fucking people just shouldn't have to die, dude. Shouldn't have to die.
No, they definitely shouldn't have to die. And there's also so much money involved in war. That's the scariest thought. The scariest thought is that people are willing to make decisions that they know is going to cost thousands and thousands of people their lives.
Bro, you know, like, with how much money we gave to Ukraine, I talked about this in the press conference. Man, how that would have financed cancer for, like, American cancer treatments, like, 5-10 years.
Yeah.
Like, fuck, dude. We don't, like... It's so crazy. What the fuck? There's nothing. You're just hopeless, dude. It's utterly fucking hopeless, dude.
Yeah, it's probably not something that we can fix.
No, it will never fix, dude.
I do want to know about, before we wrap this up, about your training. about, like, when did you learn, like, what made you, like, do so much sparring? Like, when did you sort of embrace that? Because it's one thing that does separate you from everybody else is this timing and control of distance that you really only get from a lot of sparring. Yeah. And so there's guys like Max Holloway, who's the elite of the elite, who said at this point in time, I don't spar anymore because I get banged up.
You know,
he
said that, dude, but I ran into him and I asked him and he kind of like laughed. Like, no, dude, I still spar. I just don't think he's. But here's the thing about Max Holloway. He is so fucking good. There's not many people who spar him that hit him.
Right.
Same with me. It's like, again, I could get knocked out. Max get knocked out. I could go spar every single day, all day long, and I could say I don't really get take damage. I mean, I proved it that stupid mouthpiece they had me wear.
Right.
But, you know, again, it just comes obsessive. I started training because I was an angry fucking kid. I turned out I love sparring, and it just makes me happier.
Has other people in your gym sort of embraced that when they see your success with that?
So, you know what it is, dude? You have people live in this world fantasy. Like, again, not naming names. I train with great guys, but I've talked to some guys and they're like, well, in a fight, a lot of guys say, well, training's not a fight. And, you know, in a fight, even though I don't train or spar hard, I'll turn it up. And I always tell these guys, dude, like, I know you say that, but I'll fucking put 10 G's on the ground right now. You match it, whatever you want to do, you match it, spar me 3 to 5 rounds, and I will bring you in such fucking misery that you will fucking quit. And a lot of fighters, man, we got to say things and make ourselves feel better, you know? We got to say, like, oh, well, in a fight we do this, in a fight we
do this. Right, right. And so you think the best approach is just to fight all the fucking time.
All the time. But again, my style is not taking damage. Like Chris Curtis, it's hard for Chris Curtis to spar 24-7 because that man, like, he's like a fucking in the pocket. Like,
yeah.
No matter what, he's taking damage.
Right.
So it's just easy, man, when I don't take my style is, like, evolved around liking to spar. This is good for the brain, dude. You know this. You gotta start doing DMT. Go lay in your fucking float tank.
Yeah, but it's interesting because there's no best way to do anything.
Yeah.
It's like, what is bringing you success? And what brings you success is unique.
Also, low self-esteem, man. And this is like, we talk about a guy like John Jones. Again, as much shit I talk, he's probably one of the best fighters ever fucking fight in the UFC. Having low self-esteem is rough. And a lot of us have super low self-esteem. Like a lot of us fucking look in the mirror and, you know, like you take someone like John Jones, that motherfucker was inventing moves. Mm-hmm. He was like, when he was back in the day, like, dude, he was inventing that spinning, like I actually did against Rai Hall. I was so fucking stoked. I'm a fan of John Jones, right? Mm-hmm. Let go of the single leg, boom, back, spinning back up. Well, that was mm-hmm. John Jones.
Yeah.
But you got to understand, John Jones is a fucking super athlete. Since birth, man, that kid was told that he was fucking gold. You know, his brothers are fucking gold. He's gold. So he goes in there and is just like, I'm made of gold. I can just go fucking do that.
But he opened up his world title fight with Shogun with a flying knee.
Exactly. It's but wild. You take a lot of us who has like low self-esteem, like especially like my buddy Chris Curtis. It's nice going to a fight. No, I sparred Alex. I fucking sparred Artem Levin. I did. Mm-hmm. I sparred me and Francis Ngannou had a fucking, you know, I've sparred me and Francis Ngannou had a fucking 3-round war, you know?
Really?
Oh, yeah. I've like, dude, I banged with Francis. Yeah. Me and Francis banged.
Christ. Dude. What is that like?
So heavyweights are easier to hit and not get hit. But the problem is they just touch you, dude, and it feels like you hit by a truck. Yeah. But I always tell Francis now. By the way, I mean, if you've met, you obviously Francis. Francis is the fucking greatest guy.
He's a great guy,
bro. He's like, you talk to Francis, and you're like, dude, you're a fucking saint. It's funny.
That guy's been through some shit.
I thought we'll wrap this up. Funny. So I walked into the gym once. And it was like my birthday the day before. I was like, why didn't you tell me it was my birthday? And I was like, but fucking birthdays are for women and children. I don't fucking celebrate birthdays. Francis is like, Sean, what is a birthday? What is a birthday? I was like, Francis, what are you talking? He's like, there is no presence in the salt mines. There is no cake in the salt mines. Like, it's like, fuck, Francis. Like, oh, man, it made me feel like a fucking pussy. The most sincere guy, bro. The most sincere guy. I was like, Francis, no offense, man, but I would never want to date a girl you dated just because, like, I mean, maybe like 6 of these combined. And Francis, I'm not even joking, bro. I'm like, I mean, I'm being comic. I'm joking. He's like, Sean, you don't, when you know the way of a woman, he's like, you can make a woman, you know, climax with the finger. And he's like having this heart-to-heart talk with me about like pleasuring a woman. And I'm like, Francis, I'm just making a joke, dude. I'm just fucking with you, bro. But yeah, but sparring Francis is fun. I mean, I've like sparring Francis. Like, come on, you fucking bitch, let's fight.
Wow.
Because he scares me. He scares the fuck out of me. He's a big, scary black man. He scares the fuck out of me.
He scares the fuck out of everybody.
Yeah, but like
the
that's,
power that guy has. But
what I'm saying,
ridiculous.
Though, it's like when I scares me, like that little voice, you know, me hiding underneath the bed from my dad, and like him, that little child fucking looks at him and feels fear. I'm like, I gotta fight that motherfucker.
I sincerely hope he's successful. I hope that him leaving as the heavyweight champion, and I really hope he gets a boxing match. Yeah. But boxing, they're fucking stringing him along, man. Yeah. They keep promising him this fight and promising him that fight, and no one's gonna fight him.
Yeah.
You know?
But no, he's doing the good PFL thing. I mean, he's in there.
He's not going to fight in PFL until 2024,
yeah.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, but man,
I don't understand why.
Yeah, fucking A, dude. It's just money, dude. I'm sure he doesn't have to fight, dude. He has fucking money.
Well, yeah, but he wants the real money. He wants the, I don't have to work again
go
for the rest of my life
money.
Money.
Yeah,
he wants
go fuck yourself money.
Yeah, and I really hope he gets that. Yeah, and I think they fucking dangled that out in front of him.
Yeah, and then he got hyped up, and you see what these boxers are making. My biggest thing, dude, like the PFL, everyone's like, oh, Sean, like you, why do you talk so highly of PFL and Bellator? Like, dude, I want everybody to win. Competition's fucking good.
Good for everybody.
Johnny Eblem, he's my boy in
Bellator. He's a beast.
I fucking love Johnny.
One of the best 185 pounders on earth.
Fuck, dude. Me and Johnny Eblem have wars, man. I fucking love the guy. I want him to fucking make money. I want Saadi Boussai to win the championship. It's like people are so brand loyal, and I'm a company man, but it's like I love In-N-Out, dude. I fucking love me some In-N-Out. Fucking love In-N-Out. But like I also want five. I don't really like Five Guys. But
I like Five Guys.
Ah, it's too greasy, bro. It's too greasy. Yeah,
too greasy. Yeah. Interesting. But I'll give you jalapenos and bacon.
The fries are like mush, bro.
They're great. The fries are great.
But like,
what are you, communist? You don't like Five Guys?
Maybe.
What the fuck is going on? Yeah.
But what I'm saying though, right? Is I want Five Guys. I want Five Guys to lower their prices. I want them to fucking steal In-N-Out.
You want competition.
I want competition, man. Yeah. America is based off competition.
Yes.
You know, and that's the problem. Not enough competition, you guys. So,
agreed.
So support, you know, what I would say is support Bellator, support PFL. If you're a fighter.
Support one.
Support everybody. FC, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's better for everybody.
I love that Raw Tang guy, dude. That guy's a
he's fun to watch.
Bro, I watch that guy always hype me up. He's just like fucking.
Yeah. Oh, he's a little animal.
But when you're this fucking big, you know, things hurt a little bit less.
Well, there's some reality to that for sure.
Yeah, but it's like watching a woman just way fucking better.
He's a bad motherfucker.
I hate watching women fights, by the way. God, I hate
it. And I love that Mighty Mouse fight with him. I really love that fight because it's a wild idea. Like, have one round Muay Thai, second round MMA.
Yeah, I mean, I like that, but I'd rather just stick to Muay Thai, dude.
Well, that would be good for him to just stick to Muay Thai, but I love the fact that Mighty Mouse took that challenge on. Yeah. I love that.
Well, it'd be cool just to be like, why does it have to be like, hey, I need to beat you at MMA? You are a kickboxer.
Right.
You are an MMA fighter. It's two fucking different sports.
Right. It's like, yeah, but it's like exciting to see. Like, let's see what happens. Yeah. See if he could survive the first round in just pure Muay Thai. Yeah. No takedowns.
No, I think that clown show is that Jake Paul match. Such a fucking clown show.
What are they doing?
Is he still fighting Nate Diaz? Is that still going on?
Oh, that one. Yeah, I thought, because he's got a PFL contract as well, right?
Yeah,
so I think he's going to fight in PFL.
You know, dude, he's one of those guys that made me so mad. They game the system so well. He's such a smart dude. Like,
clever.
All that fucking money from TikTok and just like the motherfucker, the guy, and everyone's
The guy's fighting Anderson Silva. The guy's in there, Tommy Fury.
Bro, who the fuck is Tommy Fury?
Tommy Fury can box, dude.
When's the last time Tommy Fury boxed?
Before he fought Jake Paul, he fought.
Yeah,
but
he's
like 4 months before that.
Yeah,
but it's a thing you're saying. But he's skilled.
Bro, he's a part time fighter. He was like did on a reality TV show. I would fuck Tommy Fury up. Like,
whoa.
I would fucking put hands on him and Paul. But, like, what I'm saying, he's a good-looking dude, man. I don't fucking know. I don't know.
Have you thought about doing straight boxing?
I've had guys talk to me and be like, dude, you would fucking crush. Because I train a lot.
That's what you really enjoy, right?
Yeah, I like boxing.
You don't throw a lot of kicks.
Yeah, no.
I know you have real good jiu-jitsu, but you it's not like you're taking guys down and submitting them.
If the money was right and someone's like, hey, we'll pay you this money to box, yeah, fuck yeah, I'd do it. But, you know, everything is money, dude. I'd fucking, Joe Rogan, if somebody fucking came here and put $1 million on this table right now and said attack Joe Rogan, I would attack Joe Rogan and deal with the court case later as your special forces guys come and shoot me. You know?
Yeah, well, I think you got some real amazing opportunities coming in the UFC. Yeah. And then if something opens up for a boxing match.
Yeah, but either way, dude, I'm not poor.
The Paul guys, they're like your size.
Yeah, dude, I'm not poor, which is nice. Right. Yeah, I'd fucking put
it's
work
nice,
on
right?
it. Dude, not being poor, you guys, is so nice. I mean, fucking Rogan has that, like, go fuck yourself money. Rogan has the fucking I don't have to do shit for the rest of my life money. But you're still doing shit, bro. I applaud you for that.
Yeah, you got to still do shit.
Well, the problem is when you stop doing shit, you die.
You just become a lazy old sack of shit.
Yeah, your brain starts
going
away.
The beautiful thing about having money is now you don't have to think about it. Now just do what you enjoy doing.
Is it weird that you could just wake up and just like, hey, I want to buy a motorcycle. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, it's weird.
Like, there's nothing you could think about. Like, I want to go buy an airplane. I can go buy a fucking airplane.
Yeah, but that's when it gets wild. Like, when people start buying houses and airplanes. Because, like, then you'll run out of money.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you could run out of money.
But, I mean,
you
could
be a billionaire.
But you can go buy, like, a $300,000 Cessna and give no fucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck, it's weird. Dude.
It's weird. That's yeah, especially weird, growing up poor. It's very weird.
Yo, Black Rifle, guys.
But I don't think about money. What I've done with it, I've recognized, okay, that's an aspect of my life that's covered. So let's just not make any decisions based on only on money. Yeah. Whereas when I was younger, I mean, like when I hosted Fear Factor, I was like, oh, it's good money. I'll do it.
Yeah.
But I would never do anything like that now. It's like I don't want to do anything just for money. So now I just do things that I really enjoy
Your
doing.
Your kids, are they going to work or are you going to be like?
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. You listen, this life is not – if you just give people everything –
Fucking ruins them.
It ruins them.
Fucking
ruins them. They win the lottery when you're 18. Your life is going to be hell.
Yeah. You're gonna build a business and all of a sudden your kids just fucking ruin – their kids are drug addicts.
It just seems – look at Hunter Biden. Yeah, they found coke in the White House. You see that?
Did they really?
Yes.
Fuck.
They shut the White House down. They found cocaine in the White House after he visited.
Man, dude.
I think it's hilarious. They're trying to cover this
would
up.
Would you vote if it was Trump versus Biden? Would you vote for Trump? Or would you just not vote?
I would vote for Trump over Biden. Yeah. I said that before. Yeah. I said that before I'd vote for Trump over Biden. But I voted for Libertarian in the last election.
My man.
I voted Joe Jorgensen in the last election. But yeah, I think Robert Kennedy has a real good shot. I think he has a real good shot. And we're more than a year away from the election. I think people are waking up. Like, even the fucking – I was watching this the press secretary get grilled today. All the different journalists are starting to act like journalists.
Fuck it, right?
They're going after her, asking her all these questions about these fucking emails and these WhatsApp chats that show that there's, like, very clear – bribery going on.
Yeah, fuck, pay to play, man.
And she's trying to like, I'm not going to get into that. I'm not going to talk about business.
You know,
family
what's so
businesses
crazy about America, though. Like, and then fucking Joe Biden, like talking about, you would need a plane to take on the government. Like, Americans are such fucking pussified. We're like, Americans are so fucking pussified, dude. That like it is factual that we have sold this country. It's factual that we lied for Iraq. Like, we have done so much fucked up shit.
It's not we. It's giant corporations that can lie to people in order to make money.
But as Americans, we all sit there and be like, huzzah, who's next?
Yeah, but we don't know what's going on. That's the problem, is the media's bought and paid
for
it.
But we do know what's going on now. We know
now that, we know what was going on
but even
in 2001.
Then, but even then, what do you think is going to happen in the next election? They're going to find some other stooge on the Democrat-Republican Party. We're going to vote for him, and the cycle continues.
We'll see.
Yeah, no, it's fucking damn shame, dude. Fucking A, guys. I'm down for the revolution. Rogan's down for revolution, guys. Let's go fucking storm the Capitol. It'll be fun.
Congratulations on your fight.
Thanks,
and I really look forward to seeing you next time you're in there against anybody and everybody, whoever it is.
Let's
I'm a fan.
Hey, man, I'm pseudo famous now. I made the fucking Rogan podcast.
Let's go.
Let's fucking go.
All right. Thanks. Bye, everybody.